Israel this morning, with more fighting reported between American forces and the insurgents in parts of the country. Recent execution of American contractor Nick Berg is further magnifying the crisis there. Vice President Dick Cheney, in an interview with Fox Radio News, thinks the swirling scandal about Iraqi prisoner abuse is certainly not helping the situation. He's now calling for a halt to the public release of more photos and videos of abuse. Vice President says withholding them, holding the material that is, will stop what he calls sensationalism.
It's got to be handled in an intelligent, reasonable fashion, and it's not just a matter of sort of whetting people's appetites to see sensational stuff.
Vice President Dick Cheney, U.S. Representative John Murtaugh, a Pennsylvania Democrat, says the situation in Iraq appears unwinnable. Congressman wants to get the heirs of both the defense secretary and others involved in the U.S. occupation.
And I keep saying, you're not being realistic about this thing. You're not telling us the truth, the facts. And you can't, if you don't have military security, you don't have any reconstruction, and you've seen it's almost come to a standstill, you don't have any allies that are willing to come in, you don't have anybody willing to donate money.
U.S. Congressman John Murtaugh. Reaction still abounds over the vicious beheading of a young Pennsylvania man carried out by a group affiliated with Al-Qaeda. The senseless execution was the latest dilemma facing the Bush administration on the heels of the Iraqi prisoner abuse scandal. The group videotaped the execution, saying it was to avenge the abuse of prisoners under U.S. custody. Family of the victim, Nick Berg, had been negotiating with both the Iraqi and American authorities to gain his release. The parents of Nick Berg had known their son had been decapitated, but they did not want the information to become public. In a related development, one of the executioners read a statement on an Islamic militant website to mothers and wives of American soldiers that the group tried to make a swap for Berg's make a swap for Berg in exchange for the release of Iraqi detainees, but the U.S. government refused to negotiate. There's been no confirmation of that report. In another development still unknown is whether Berg's killing was the work of Osama bin Laden Lieutenant Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. The United States government has already offered some $10 million for information leading to the capture of the killing of al-Zarqawi. The speculation has it that he's trying to build a network of foreign militants in Iraq to work for al-Qaeda. In a Berg video, the speaker threatened President Bush and Pakistani President Musharraf. The speaker said Bush should expect severe days ahead. He declared, "You and your soldiers will regret the day you stepped into the land of Iraq." And a U.S. official says the American civilian who was beheaded in Iraq had been warned to leave the country, but he refused. Official who spoke on the condition that he not be identified says Berg was in Iraq on his own accord. The official promises more information later today. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. It seems that some of today's vacuums weigh so much that ordinary people can't push them, so now they're making them self-propelled, which makes them even heavier. Before you buy a heavy, self-propelled vacuum, try the vacuum you can easily propel yourself, my 8-pound Orrick XL. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. It weighs only 8 pounds, but it cleans like a ton.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
Unfiltered.
All of the photos that have been in the U.S. press, these horrible photos of the mistreatment of the prisoners, are in the Arab press as well, but there's also stuff that is fake that's circulating in the Arab press on tabloid sites, but also on some respectable newspaper sites that's like stuff taken from porn sites.
Right.
Well, anyway. If Ron Jeremy is in one of the pictures from Iraq, you'll know it's doctored.
Air America's Unfiltered. Weekdays 9 to noon on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, Wednesday, we've got the liberal agenda coming up this hour, plus our congressional Republicans starting to break ranks. Right now, we're here in the morning. It's a heavy morning. I'm here with Mark Riley and Stu Ellicott.
Good morning.
Hello.
I am like, you know, I can't even, like, I'm disgusted and appalled and nauseated by the news out of Iraq. I was like, and also I'm getting a little nauseated about how, you know, how the media, just in general television, sort of prioritizes things. I was watching TV last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching MSNBC because I had to. I don't know why. I was at the gym, and it was the only thing on. And I was watching as they unfolded stories very quickly, right? So they did a piece about, you know, Kerry campaigning, which was like 10 seconds, right? And he missed a Senate vote. Then they did a piece about the Taguba testimony, right? It was like another 10 seconds. Then they did about 10 seconds, sort of a recap on the beheading of Nick Berg. And then they go to a commercial. And it's a commercial, it's a GE commercial that takes place in an interrogation cell.
Wow.
That there are these two cops sort of like coming in to interrogate a guy, and they turn out to get sort of preoccupied with the guy's shirt. Like, well, that's a really nice shirt. And they're like nice sort of almost, you know, feminized, as Rush Limbaugh would say, interrogators. And I just think like, you know, why wouldn't they pull that commercial? Yeah, I mean, how is that okay to, you know, given the, everything that's going on, that, is that coincidence that they would try and put a, you know, like, all of a sudden there's nice interrogators on TV, and then, what?
Sorry. It's I guess they just don't know that that they booked that slot. I don't know how it works.
No, I know. I mean, it's certainly beyond coincidence, but then, like, I tend to think that there's nothing beyond coincidence, because this horrifying thing that happened with Nick Berg and his killing being videotaped and put on the air and be put on the sort of a Muslim extremist website is horrifying, because then you start to watch how that's slowly being spun.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, these guys are sick bastards. I mean, these al-Qaeda guys. But let's not forget that, you know, Iraq and al-Qaeda were not connected until George Bush connected them. Now Iraq is like a terrorist manufacturing plant that, you know, that is now just free reign for al-Qaeda to make it into another Afghanistan, you know, number one. You know, and number two, it's like, they're going to politicize this action, because in light of all the testimony about the torture, they're going to, you know, bring this up and say, this is what we're fighting against. See, this is why the torture is justified. This is why, you know, you shouldn't prioritize the torture and make that dude, the Oklahoma senator, Inhofe,
yeah,
you know, make him justified. Whereas, like, these are not the same people that are in Iraq. It might confuse people. Like, al-Qaeda are a separate entity. You know, the Iraqis that were tortured in the Abu Ghraib prison, many of them, according to the Red Cross, were innocent people.
70 to 90% of them, yeah.
So it's like, you know, we really are, you know, we have to realize that al-Qaeda is clearly evil and this is heinous, but that does not justify us behaving like animals as well. You know, we still have to be a moral barometer for the world. And I started to read about these neocons. And these guys are going to dismiss all of this as part of their agenda. This is just, for them, this is just like minor obstacles to achieving what they want to achieve. And they will use any of it to achieve that agenda, which is, you know, clear with Syria in terms of the actions that he took yesterday. It's just like today, I think we've got to really focus on, you know, separating all these different entities and making sure we understand, you know, where the anger should be.
Well, one of the things that I think is troubling right off the top is that these are not just a group of people from al-Qaeda. One of them has been identified as one of Osama bin Laden's closest allies. And the question of how he is and what he's doing inside Iraq is one that hasn't even come up yet. We're talking about Abu Musab Zarqawi, I guess.
I thought he was the guy. Isn't there some kind of bounty on his head? Isn't
yeah, there is a big bounty
huge,
on his
like
head.
$10 million or something?
Yep. And apparently no one has decided to pick it up because he was supposedly one of the people that, as a matter of fact, the person who cut off Nick Berg's head.
Oh, my God. You know, it was like we were talking about that yesterday, just how grateful, you know, I am and we are to live in a country. Like, I thought of that poor kid,
yeah.
You know, in that situation. It's just like it's horrifying and nauseating. And just like, I mean, this is the way they fight.
I feel bad for his family and how they found out. And, you know, there's one thing that you can be sure that even if the administration talks about how heinous the killing was, and indeed it was absolutely shocking, that they are not going to be talking about how Nick Berg's family had to sue Donald Rumsfeld and the Defense Department when their son basically had gone missing and was held by the coalition in March, with no lawyer, not able to make a phone call, and with no charges against him. I mean, the guy was picked up and by Iraqi police at a checkpoint back on March 24th and was then held, basically mini-Gitmo'd. And it wasn't until the family sued Rumsfeld and the Defense Department that the next day he was released.
He was released. He was set free. And, you know, the political reaction to Nick Berg's execution, I guess, is pretty predictable. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham was pretty typical of the way people reacted on Capitol Hill.
The beheading video is not only shocking, but it should be a wake-up call as to exactly who we're dealing with here. We're dealing with an enemy that has absolutely no boundaries, that's despicable in every way, and really behaves like animals in the name of God.
Berg's killers, by the way, promised more killings in revenge for the abuse of prisoners in Iraq. This was, according to the videotape, all about the abuse of prisoners inside Iraq.
This is a direct result of George Bush's, you know, baiting and policy in Iraq, and not, you know, and saying, you know, bring it on, and you know, let's see what you got. Well, this is what they have: these small groups of people who are terrorists, who are Al Qaeda terrorists, not, you know, distinguished from, you know, Al Sadr's group, and distinguished from, you know, other Iraqi insurgencies.
From the Baathists, for example.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. Is that you know, these guys have this kind of, you know, power, you know, to take action in the way they did with videos and the media. But, I mean, we can't forget, you know, who they are, and they are directly reacting to Bush's policy in Iraq.
The problem I see is that, and I remember when Wesley Clark spoke to us after the last outrage, after the killing of those four contractors when their bodies were hung from the bridge. And what did Wesley Clark tell us? He told us it would be difficult, if not impossible, to bring the people that did this to justice, and as of yet, they have not been brought to justice. Now we hear the White House saying, we're going to punish the people that executed Nicholas Berg. Why would anyone think that this government, or the Iraqis, or the coalition for that matter, are going to be able to find these people if one of bin Laden's closest allies is inside a country that we occupy? Why does anybody think we can catch him?
And bin Laden's not even caught.
No.
I mean, they don't even know where that guy is. Or they do, and they're holding him, you know, waiting for the big October surprise. I don't know. You know, but it's ridiculous because the enemy is so, you know, it moves. It can be anywhere. They can be activated at any time. And so little of it had to do anything with Iraq to begin with, but now it has everything to do with Iraq.
Yep. Yeah,
because of Bush's arrogance and just insipid, you know, belligerent, you know, planning, you know, without any sort of forethought over what could happen.
Well, you won't hear them saying, will you, as we wish we did, if those abuses by the U.S. military in the jails had not happened, maybe this wouldn't have happened either.
Well, yeah.
They don't take full responsibility. They just don't take, they fail repeatedly to make the connection that the climate existed for these kind of abuses and that, you know, increased instability, violence against Americans, civilian and military. And this guy, Nicholas Berg, was a civilian trying to get a job for a contractor. He wasn't even working. And yet he was targeted in this way.
And he was
they
trying
can't
to get
make
out of
the connection.
Country. He was trying to get out of the country.
He called his parents. It's sort of like, I got to get out of here. We don't really know what happened, how he was picked up by the terrorists. I mean, all we know is that he was released from custody of the coalition, who picked him up for reasons that we don't know either. Correct.
Well, he was first stopped at a checkpoint by Iraqi security people and then turned over to the Americans. He was detained, I believe, for 13 days, then let go after his family sued Rumsfeld. And what happened after that, between that and I think the last time his parents heard from him, the last time he was seen was April 9th and had not been seen since. So
we have no idea what transpired after he was released.
Or how he was taken into custody by the people that ended up killing him.
And nor do we know who knows and isn't saying. But, you know, let's hope some of that comes out.
But the truth is that, you know, even with this heinous act, you know, it does not dismiss the behavior of the American soldiers in Abu Ghraib. I mean, you know, we can't say, well, this justifies whatever we do to those people, because on some level, on a very deep level, America has to be the barometer of decency, you know, in an international community.
That's what we hold ourselves out to be. Right. That's why we invaded Iraq, because we were supposed to be better. I mean, it bottom line assessment.
McCain was talking about that on CNN. You know, he was like, you know, we have, you know, a human respect on some level for our enemies, and that's, you know, we respect their human rights,
yeah,
or we have in history.
Hopefully we have, although Abu Ghraib, again, and the other allegations of abuse would say that we don't always look at some of the people, some of the innocent people in Iraq, as human. Meanwhile, developments are changing in the prison abuse scandal itself. Later today, the entire United States Senate, all 100, will have the chance to see unreleased photos and video showing abuse of Iraqi prisoners. They have a 3-hour window and no staff will be allowed. In effect, the upper house won't formally take possession of the material, and that means that whether the photos are made public will be left solely up to the Bush administration. Dick Cheney, vice president, has questioned whether any of these new photos should be made public. Of course, yesterday, General Antonio Taguba testified before the House Armed Services Committee and I think everybody, as we came off the air yesterday, the first thing everybody asked, well, who are these guys that are with him? We didn't know right away, but as it turns out, Taguba was flanked during his testimony by Lieutenant General Lance Smith, who's deputy commander of the U.S. Central Command, and Stephen Cambone, who was the boss of Pentagon Intelligence.
Rumsfeld lackeys.
Yes.
Yeah, they're to say what he's trying to say is that we had nothing to do with it.
And they didn't agree on a whole lot of stuff, by the way. But during Taguba's testimony, Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe made an incredible statement.
As I watch this outrage everyone seems to have about the treatment of these prisoners, I have to say, and I'm probably not the only one up at this table that is more outraged by the outrage than we are by the treatment.
That's astounding that anybody could be, frankly, that insensitive and that unintelligent, that you could be more outraged by the outrage. I mean, you need to be outraged by everything right now. There is no, you know, the fact that you can have sort of relative outrage, and that he went on to say that, you know, the abuse under Saddam Hussein's abuse of prisoners was so terrible, therefore the American abuse is relatively not so bad. That's ridiculous.
He's a Republican ass kisser that, you know, just like, it was like, you know, reacting, like it was almost as if he'd been paid to say that. I mean, the truth of the matter is 70 to 90% of those people that were, you know, being held, the Red Cross say, were innocent people taken up in sweep. So, you know, his idea of the enemy and just projecting that onto a group of people, it's racist.
Well, see, this is something that has been ongoing, not just in Congress, but among the American people as well. The notion that all Iraqis are equally guilty as Saddam Hussein, the idea that they are the enemy, the idea that we are at war with them, is something that's being projected all over this country as we speak. The idea that there is no, we should make no difference.
It is racism. It's the core of racism. Still ahead, the president's Palm Pilot, plus some Republicans in Congress may be growing a set. that's cute text there. We'll talk all about it right here on Air America Radio.
Oh. As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experience professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Hey, honey.
Yeah?
Today's Mother's Day, you know, and I wanted to do something special for you, so... Here you go, a little gift from me to you.
Oh, wow. Did you wrap this yourself?
Did I? Of course I did. Go ahead, open it up. Well?
Well, it's a steak.
Yeah, I made it myself. Cooked it over Kingsford charcoal. What do you think?
I think I need a fork. Oh, and something to get the wrapping paper off my tongue.
Mother's Day is here, and it's the perfect time to grill. So grab a bag of Kingsford charcoal and head for the backyard. You'll get the great flavor of Kingsford charcoal, and you'll keep Mom out of the kitchen, which ought to make any Mother's Day. Kingsford, because taste is everything.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 2004. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Good morning, it's Wednesday. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott.
Hey.
It is now 22 past the hour, and they're thinking about cutting Saddam loose. Is that what I hear, Mark?
Handing him over. Him and 100 other people.
Before June 1st, or before June 30th.
July 1st, yeah. If Iraq is prepared to take them into custody. Now, of course, this is a very interesting question because July 1st is the day after they're supposed to be handing over power to whom they don't know. So if you're going to hand over Saddam the day after you hand over power, who are you handing Saddam over to?
Maybe they're just going to throw him into the middle of the chaos.
Yeah, just take him to the Baghdad Convention Center, which is where, by the way, they're going to try Jeremy Sivits, the guy that's the first guy that's charged in connection with the abuse. Take him there.
Drop the scapegoat, off. The first scapegoat to be charged
scapegoat
with the abuse.
Scapegoat number one.
That's Jeremy Sivits. They got to be careful, though, if they hand Saddam over too early and there's not enough people in charge, he might just take charge again.
Well, the United States is saying they haven't decided when they're going to hand the man over.
Right.
Now, of course, this is important in terms of some transparency about whether or not or how he will, in fact, be tried. Will he be tried under American law, Iraqi law, coalition provisional authority law? Who knows?
Right.
International law, which the United States really doesn't recognize all that much. And at a point, this question of when he's going to be handed over, again, spotlights the incredible lack of a plan in terms of who is going to run Iraq after June 30th. Nobody seems to know. That's why the United States wouldn't back these people up and saying, oh, yeah, we're going to hand them over. Do.
Well, they're trying to, desperately, it seems, to navigate the religious differences, you know, between Shiites and Sunnis. And they're trying, it's interesting that they're trying to kind of negotiate with al-Sadr a bit, because I guess he's been talking to some of the other clerics. I think they're trying to sort of calm him down and integrate, you know, some of that rebellion into a possibility of, it seems that they're going to have to reckon with the religious differences of all these different sects and cults. I'm calling them cults. All these different religious factions.
Organizations.
They're going to try and set up a parliamentary type of government, aren't they?
They're going to try, but, I mean, you know, al-Sadr, first of all, they never should have shut down the guy's paper. That was mistake number one. A lot of this would not have happened, I don't think.
Might not
have happened had al-Sadr been able to continue publishing. Now, yeah, he was publishing incendiary stuff.
Right.
But, you know, if you're going to go invade a country and say we're going to democratize the country, and if your country has a First Amendment, and if, as I do, you believe that the First Amendment is more or less inviolate, then the key to dealing with al-Sadr is better speech than al-Sadr, which apparently no one ever thought to do. So at a point, and I had also heard that there was a demonstration against al-Sadr by Iraqis the other day.
Yeah, I think that's sort of like these upheavals in the religious community, certainly, you know, because there are several factions of Shia, you know what I mean, that, you know, they're going to have to figure out a balance among themselves in order to integrate themselves into whatever government, you know, comes about or whatever government is laid out. And I think that, you know, that he's sort of wanted for murder on top of other things, but I think they're going to have to figure that out amongst themselves. That's one of the actual problems in Iraq that are going to have to be resolved among Iraqis.
Well, that was another mistake that the coalition made in saying that they were either going to capture him or kill him. Now, this was, what, 3 weeks ago?
They pulled back from that.
Yeah, well, they pulled back from it, but, see, the Iraqis don't necessarily believe they've pulled back from that. It's okay for the Americans to say, well, we're not really going to do that, but Iraqis are upset that they said they'd do it in the first place. And I think at a point, part of what they're going to have to do to deal with al-Sadr is really sit down and say, how can this man function without, you know, totally disrupting, you know, the life of the average Iraqi? Not so much American operations, but the lives of the Iraqi people.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be done. What now, is there some metal situation here in terms of two wars and one war? Did you hear something about that?
Yes, I absolutely did. That somebody said, yeah, that you can't call it two wars. It's just one war against terrorism that could go on forever. I guess they're trying to cut back on, you know, producing medals or something. I don't know. But if you get a medal for the one war, I guess you have little connections for, like, you know, Iraq, you know, Syria, China,
Afghanistan. That's how all this started. They said that Donald Rumsfeld, when George Bush praised Rumsfeld the other day, he said that he had done work during two wars. Now, the last time Rumsfeld was defense secretary is 1975 through 77, during which there was no war.
Right.
So the two wars that he had to have been talking about, one would think, would be Iraq and Afghanistan.
That's no war we know of.
Yeah. No war.
There were secret wars going on at all times.
No overt war.
Yeah.
But then that brings up the question. How do you deal with it?
So I'm just thinking of Saddam Hussein and the handover, just going back a little bit. Isn't it ironic that in all of this, that maybe Saddam Hussein will have been the best treated Iraqi prisoner of anybody?
As far as we know, yeah.
Not going to have messed with him at all, are they? I mean, they clearly wanted to talk to him, and I can't imagine there's been kind of any overstepping of any convention or any rule. And it has to be symbolic that they hand over kind of the best treated prisoner.
Where is he, by the way? Where is he being held?
He's somewhere. Is it the Baghdad airport?
Out the airport hangar. He's somewhere.
somewhere in Iraq.
Smirking. He's smirking somewhere going, see, it's not so easy, is it?
Absolutely. Coming up, the presidential palm pilot, the Salon.com story of the day, and the all-important liberal agenda. When we come back here on Air America Radio.
It's cool, so when my pockets get low, I know their prayers are low
every day. got my suitcase, I got my boots laced. The next stop, I'ma buy me some toothpaste. I'm rolling out, headed to a new place. On Greyhound, riding safe to state.
Hook up with a super friendly fare and get rolling for less. Some restrictions apply. Call 1-800-231-2222.
I'm a Greyhound rider.
Greyhound rider.
Greyhound, and leave the driving to us.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Reaction abounds this morning over the senseless beheading of American contractor Nick Berg of Pennsylvania. The videotaped execution is the latest dilemma facing the Bush administration. This has caused an increase for Americans to pull out of Iraq. Vice President Dick Cheney thinks barring further release of photos and videos of the Iraqi prisoner abuse will stem what he thinks is the rising tide of sensationalism. U.S. official who wishes to remain anonymous says American contractor Nick Berg was warned to leave the country, but he refused. U.S. officials detained Berg for 13 days during March and April, but his family says he was denied an opportunity to contact a lawyer and make phone calls. And Pennsylvania authorities are looking for the suspect or suspects wanted for the murder last night of famed R&B artist and lyricist John Whitehead, 55-year-old, was shot to death while working on a car with a friend in Philadelphia. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Ovaltine's on the air with the Ovaltine song.
Ovaltine hot, kids like it a lot. Rich chocolate Ovaltine, it hits the spot. Creamy and delicious, and may I say nutritious. It tastes just like dessert.
Matt, time the rock.
Ovaltine hot, kids like it a lot. Rich chocolate Ovaltine, it hits the spot. Creamy and delicious, may I say nutritious. It tastes just like dessert.
Totally cool. Radio Ovaltine signing off. Later.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec, nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
LendingTree.com presents 2 steps for controlling the home buying process. Step 1. Go to LendingTree.com and get up to 4 great mortgage offers within hours. Step 2. Stay at LendingTree.com and get up to 4 leading real estate agents within hours. So, to choose the mortgage and agent that's right for you, call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com. See website for details and state license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. The Majority Report.
A lot of right-wingers like to create Hollywood as the evil empire. I'll tell you what, Hollywood is the only goodwill ambassadors we've got around the world. Everybody likes the cast of Friends. Nobody likes the president.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
We should be thankful for Jennifer Aniston.
And you know, frankly,
Drew Barrymore.
I am at the point where...
Sheryl Crow.
Jennifer Aniston, probably greater grip on international affairs.
Air America's Majority Report. Weeknights 8 to 11 on Air America Radio.
Rock and roll, man. It's Wednesday, morning sedition. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio. Who is that, Chris?
Black Crowes.
It is old Black Crowes doing their version of the Rolling Stones. Right now, it is time for the presidential palm pilot. If you don't know what this is, I've got a guy in the Oval Office that does a thing. He pulls this off of the president's palm pilot every day. It's a schedule. 8 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Ignore yesterday's message. 9:30 a.m. Point out that Johnson administration, in parentheses, Democrats, never got tough on terrorist cabal of Riddler, Joker, and Penguin. 10:30 a.m. Breakfast meeting with Ashcroft. Note, snack beforehand. His prayer takes a while. 10:55 a.m. Meet with President Jose Eduardo dos Santos of Angola. Note, the name is Spanish. The country is in Africa. It's weird, but don't make a big thing of it. 1:35 p.m. Participate in a conversation on reading and No Child Left Behind in Maryland. okay? At least try to participate in a conversation on reading and No Child Left Behind in Maryland. 3 p.m., watch CNN for information about world events. 3:15 p.m., watch Fox News to remind you of how you feel about the world events. 5 p.m., find out why there wasn't Jell-O at dinner last night. Finally, someone in the administration is going to lose their job. 7 p.m., have aides gather up all the used Post-it notes in the Oval Office, box and label for inclusion in Presidential Library. 9 p.m., lights out, practice concerned smirk.
Uh-oh.
There's a little comedy.
Now.
We're shifting gears. We've got a guest. We've got our salon guest of the day. One underestimated asset President Bush has enjoyed is the fact that his party also controls both houses of Congress, but that advantage may be eroding somewhat. Joining us now to explain how and why is Martin Seif, chief political correspondent for UPI, with our Salon.com story of the day. Hello, Martin. How are you?
Very well. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thanks for being here. So you're saying that there's some Republican anger in the ranks. You know, what do they want? Do they want Rummy fired? Has any Republican actually said anything like that to you?
There's a great deal of unease. I put it that way. Staffers, even in the House, speak freely.
What are they saying?
Well, it's not just them. It's people in the Senate as well. And if you look at what's been said by even powerful Republicans who head the major committees in armed services, like John Warner,
yeah.
They're seething, they're extremely angry, they realize they've been let up the garden path, they've been sold a pup, and you've got to understand the background to this, Mark, which is that even Republican senators are senators as well as being Republicans.
Right, so
and
they feel like they
take their privileges
mm-hmm.
seriously.
Mm-hmm.
The Pentagon echelon, in the civilian echelon running the Pentagon in this administration, has frozen the Senate out of the decision-making process, has frozen the Senate out of the information-sharing process more thoroughly than ever happened during World War II, Vietnam, or Korea.
So they think they've been set up as liars. They've been made liars out of by the president.
I think it's worse than liars. There is a strong sense that these people don't know what they're doing, that they let everything get out of control. Every assurance they gave, even their own people in the Senate, on Iraq has turned out to be a house of straw, a house of cards. It's all blowing away. None of it was real.
Who are the most pissed off senators?
Very interesting. We knew that Chuck Hagel of Nebraska
yeah.
and John McCain were pissed off, and they said so very openly. But up to this point, they were just seen as wild mavericks in their own party. Now John Warner of Virginia, who chairs the Armed Services Committee, is pissed off. Pat Roberts, who chairs the Intelligence Committee, is pissed off. Richard Lugar, who chairs the Foreign Relations Committee in the Senate, is very, very pissed off.
They're all pissed off. That's great.
So, Martin Seif, in your experience as chief political correspondent for UPI, if senators are this angry, what do they do? When are they going to do it?
They're already doing it. It started last Friday when Rummy was hauled before the Armed Services Committee and the spotlight was shone on him. The way Congress works, the way committees, especially in the Senate, work, they are very powerful national searchlights. And control of those committees by the majority, whether it's Democrat or Republican, is very important because committee chairmen can do whatever they like and they can shut things down. Up to now, the Bush administration, especially the people who run the Pentagon, have benefited from the fact that in the Senate, as in the House, committee chairmen have been compliant to them. No spotlight has been shone on what happened in Iraq. There has been no attempt to expose or amplify every bungled catastrophe, miscalculation that has been going on in Iraq. As of last Friday, that changed. The genie is out of the bottle, and it's not going back in again.
Martin Seif, the Senate is going to have 3 hours today to look at the abuse photos.
Exactly.
Obviously, the Iraqi prison scandal. Are any of the senators upset about the fact that apparently that access is going to be fairly tightly restricted? No copies can be made, no staff can be in the room, and it seems obviously that the Bush administration have put these kinds of strictures on. Any possibility that his allies will react badly?
No, I don't think that's the issue. The issue isn't that senators will go along with that. They're used to dealing with, Republicans and Democrats alike are used to dealing with classified information. They will react very badly indeed, not because access is classified, but because of what they're going to see in those photos.
Martin Seif, in your job as political correspondent, chief political correspondent for UPI, you deal with photographs and you deal with print. What's your reaction and what's the reaction of the press in Washington to Cheney's suggestion that additional photographs of American soldiers abusing Iraqi prisoners might just are just really catering to journalists' appetite for more pictures to print?
Oh, that's ludicrous. Everyone in the American Cheney is flailing at straws on this. It isn't even journalists printing it. It's coming out in everyone can access it on the internet. And it isn't the American media making a big thing of this. Have you seen what Al Jazeera is doing of this? Something was missed recently. Margaret Tutwiler, who I know well, I have a great respect for, who is old mainstream Republican, Jim Baker's right hand.
Former Secretary of State Department, yes.
She was appointed and she took the job of being information czar for this administration on the Middle East, to sell the administration's message to the world and especially to the Middle East. Maggie resigned from the position. She's going to a Wall Street position. She resigned after 4 months. She's no fool. She's extremely capable. If anyone could have got their miserable act together in this, Margaret Tutwiler would have done it. The fact that somebody as experienced, as respected, as competent as Margaret Tutwiler has washed her hands of all this speaks volumes. And this is the real explanation of Cheney flailing around on this. Okay. It isn't the media making this up. They did it themselves.
Thank you very much, Martin. It was great talking to you. Martin Seif, chief political correspondent for UPI. We've got the liberal agenda up ahead, and we want to hear from any Republicans who might be listening out there. Do you think it's okay for Republicans in Congress to question the president? We'll take your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We'll put you on the line right here on Air America Radio.
I'm really impressed with Cortislim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since Cortislim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter, but in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's Cortislim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with Cortislim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox total satisfaction guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease lozenges, clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Cold Ease nasal spray.
Good morning. It's Wednesday morning. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. It's 44 past the hour. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AA. What is that? 303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. The topic is, if you're Republican, do you think that the Republicans in Congress have a right to criticize the president publicly? We also have an email, sedition@airamericaradio.com. We are going to Wesley in Virginia. Wesley.
Hi, sir.
Hello, sir.
To answer your question, yes, I am a Republican. Yes, I believe it's our constitutional responsibility to question. I don't believe that we should allow tyranny to happen in America simply because we're afraid of answering or buckling up or making people do their job.
Or admitting our mistakes.
And if I've screwed up in any capacity, in a corporation or as an individual, they fire me.
Right.
They do not hesitate because they use the parameters of funds or dollars or capital being lost because of my ignorance.
Right.
I will tell you that the most important job in America, as you well know, is the President of the United States, and his second in command for Department of Defense is now my employee, and I should fire him.
Right.
I do not tolerate anyone. So, I mean, he should be fired and everybody in it. If he's wrong, he's wrong. That doesn't make it right by allowing it to be silent or uncover it or do what they're doing in America with everything being top secret.
Right. Who are you going to vote for, Wesley?
There ain't no doubt. I'm going to find me a good candidate. I don't have one.
Thanks for calling, Wes. We appreciate your call.
He's getting out there to search the hedgerows.
Yeah, the number is 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Of course, he's absolutely right. In a democracy, dissent is necessary. Ken in Brooklyn. Ken.
Hey, I watched the Armed Services Committee hearings for the House and the Senate, and I noticed like a couple of the Republican senators didn't even ask any questions. They spent their time, like, basically patting the military on the back.
A couple of them started, you know, yelling that, you know, the outrageous thing is the outrage people are expressing over the torture pictures.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's nice that they have warm feelings about the military, but that wasn't really the place to express them. That, you know, this
question the
witnesses and actually uncover information and actually make progress and propel this issue forward and hopefully wrap it up.
Right,
instead, they
right.
really wasted their time and it accomplished nothing. It doesn't serve their interest either.
But Ken, you know why they did that, don't you?
Because they're afraid?
Not well, because they were on national television.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Senate Armed Services. These people are on like twice a year.
And they're worried about their own careers,
so
right?
So rather than actually ask any pertinent questions of a guy like Antonio Taguba, they use the time to grandstand. They give these long speeches about this and that and the other, about how much they love the military, because they're playing to an audience back home. Some of them are probably up for re-election
right.
this year. And this is all part of how the game is played in our nation's capital.
Yeah, they got their own careers to worry about.
And some of them probably have lots of people in their states who are off in the fighting in Iraq.
Exactly.
They're
okay.
playing to families.
Yeah, absolutely. Richard in Long Island. Richard.
I think that the congressman, I'm a Republican, I should say. I've been conservative for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy your radio station very much because I'm hearing a different point of view, and I certainly think that's very important. I hope you guys survive and you get back in Chicago and the whole thing.
Oh, thank you for listening. Thanks for the support.
Yeah, but as I said, I am a conservative Republican, but I think that the congressmen have a responsibility to their constituents. These include the servicemen. I was a military policeman during the Vietnam era.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if you're ordered to do something by someone in authority, there's a tremendous amount of pressure. It's not easy to say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
And we had a wonderful congressman by the name of Javits who helped me in a situation.
Mm-hmm. The late Jacob Javits, from New York. The late Senator Javits. Jacob Javits,
How do you help you?
Well, he sent some of his I requested an early out to go back to graduate school. I've been drafted out of graduate school.
Right.
I requested an early out. And they said that they had shortages of manpower. And I was basically getting up in the morning, making my bunk, going in hiding for the rest of the day. I was not doing anything. They had extra personnel. And he sent two aides to my battalion headquarters. And I was, the next morning, I had my discharge papers, and I was able to enroll in school, even though I did it 4 days late.
Oh, wow. So he's looking out for you.
So he was looking out for me. And I think that the congressmen have responsibility to look out for their constituents of no matter what party.
Absolutely.
And if that means questioning authority, well, those are the people who can do it because the military can't take repercussions to them.
Right,
so I think
right.
it's a very important responsibility, and I think that whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you have to first serve your constituents.
Thank you very much, Richard. That was a good call. I wish I had I wish I would have asked him, who are you voting for, man? I wonder if he's still on board.
I don't know. He's
on
a conservative Republican, but you never know. He might have gotten off the train.
The other guy did. Kinda, I felt.
Well,
he didn't say he did, but I kind
of
felt like...
Some of these people, mark my words, will end up voting for Ralph Nader.
Liberal Agenda, up after this, here on Air America Radio.
Can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
way. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Today at 5 on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. What are the best days of the week to get cheap gas? Eyewitness News finds out so you'll know when to fill her up. Plus, beautiful bridal gowns at cut-rate prices. Eyewitness News finds 3 places to get yours without the madness. Plus, Eyewitness News uncovers a secret blacklist of tenants.
In effect, I was blacklisted.
Before you look for a new place, you better see what we found. It all starts with Diana Williams, Sade Veteranois, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah, only 11 years old, and wants a sex change?
When do you first remember feeling like I'm in the wrong body?
Meet the young girl living as a boy. Then he's only 5.
You're a boy.
You're not a boy.
I want to be a girl.
If this was your son, what would you do?
He's totally determined to be a woman.
A family torn apart. Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too.
But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Good Good morning. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Good morning.
On Air America Radio.
Hello.
Starting to wake up a little bit. It's a little weird in the studio today. One of the lights was flickering, so we turned it off, and it now feels like...
It's, 3 a.m.
It does. It feels like it's the middle of the night in here, which is kind of cozy.
Yeah, it's nice. I like it without the fluorescence, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but it's, really it's working against my caffeine buzz.
I've got my night goggles on. I'm
you
fine.
You still? You a little hazy? But I am curious about, you know, we have, everyone's calling for Rumsfeld's resignation. You know, I certainly think he should resign. I think he should be held responsible for everything that's going on, you know,
well,
including, you know, this horrendous thing that happened to Nick Berg. You know, I think that he's directly responsible, and they're trying very hard, like you were talking about on the break, that the reason they pulled Gambone in to sort of, you know, be there next to Guva in the testimony was specifically to protect, you know, the defense, the
their position.
Yeah, exactly.
And they contradicted each other. Now, Gambone, for people who don't know, he is the Deputy Secretary of Defense for Intelligence. He is Rumsfeld's top intelligence guy. He was brought in along with the Deputy Commander of CENTCOM.
Right.
To sit on either side of Taguba as if he was some kid that, you know, couldn't testify straight or something. I found it tremendously insulting that they would do that.
Well, they're completely protecting that line of power. That, like, you know, they really want this to go from where Taguba said, from, what was it, the Brigadier General's down, and not to go up the other way. They really want to isolate this. The press is sort of getting on board with it, too, which makes me upset, is that they're really trying to still make this weird isolated event at this one place, even though the Red Cross says in 25 other prisons that there was some sort of abuse going on, that many of the people were innocent. They're really trying to sell the idea that it was an isolated event. And my concern is that given the neoconservative ideology, is that they just think that this is par for the course. And there's really no way to get Rumsfeld out of there unless Bush fires him, which isn't going to happen, and an impeachment isn't going to happen. So, I mean, no, it frightens me that no matter how we feel, that, you know, they can just say, look, you know, you guys will get over this. It's sort of a tough love, you know, daddy knows best crap, you know what I mean?
They are kind of twisting it. I mean, doesn't Taguba come across to you as he does to me? He's kind of a decent, kind of straight guy. I mean,
this is
the guy whose dad was held in a Japanese prison camp and kind of released and still went into the military. Mm-hmm. He still believes in defending his country and, you know, working for the U.S. military, which is kind of amazing. The best he could come up with was that they were guilty of poor leadership, discipline problems, and, you know, deficiencies in training, because they kept going at him. Would you say there was an overall military policy to soften up the prisoners? And he stopped short of saying that there wasn't an overall policy. So then they think they've won. And to me, they're twisting this, because it's not the policy that's the problem. It's the climate for abuse that was created. And because they don't want to delve into that kind of subtlety and admit responsibility, Taguba did a good job. He's a decent guy. But as you say, is it the neoconservatives and the administration just won't take responsibility?
Oh, look, it's a comedy piece coming out of the fax machine. It's a liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders for today, liberals. Please get your pens and notebooks. One, have lists of people not like yourself memorized in case you're accused of only spending time with people like yourself. Two, protest the sexist use of the word man in the phrase sensitivity manual. Three, visit maximum security prison. Assure repeat offenders that they are victims of the system. Four, nominate local shaman for Nobel Peace Prize. Who has a local shaman? Five, watch Supersize Me. Vow never to go to McDonald's again unless the kids really, really won't stop crying. That's the liberal agenda for today, Wednesday.
Mm.
Yeah, those are some, do what you got to do.
Calling all shamans.
Calling all, maybe they have regional shamans. There's more to come here on Morning Sedition. In the next hour, attorney Alan Dershowitz, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, and the Presidential Daily Briefing. This is Air America Radio.
case you hadn't heard, it's worth mentioning that Country Time Lemonade has 40% less sugar than the leading regular sodas. Because soon you and the gang are probably going to be out chasing butterflies or exploring that winding path through the woods. Afterwards, you're going to want to wet your whistle with some cool, refreshing Country Time. Because you'll probably agree that summer's plenty sweet enough already. Don't forget to pick up some Solo cups and fill them to the brim.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eyes!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The U.S. government is not saying whether there was really an attempt by the Iraqi militant group responsible for the execution of American contractor Nick Berg to exchange Berg for the release of Iraqi prisoners in Abu Ghraib. One of the executioners read a statement on an Islamic militant website saying such a bid was made, but there's been no confirmation. The Iraqi group affiliated with al-Qaeda carried out the execution to avenge the spate of cases of prisoner abuse. American military Soldier Lindy England remains at the center of the controversy over prisoner abuse. She's the female Army reservist seen photographed with naked Iraqi prisoners in Abu Ghraib. England told a North Carolina television station last night that she thought she was doing the right thing because her superiors thought she was doing a great job.
To us, we were doing our job, which meant we were doing what we were told, and the outcome was what they wanted. They'd come back and they'd look at the pictures and they'd state, well, that's a good tactic. Keep it up. That's working. This is working. Keep doing it. It's getting what we need.
American Army Reservist Lindy England, one of the military figures at the heart of the prisoner abuse controversy in Iraq. U.S. official who wishes to remain anonymous says American contractor Nick Berg was warned to leave the country, but he refused. U.S. officials detained Berg for 13 days during March and April, but his family says he was denied an opportunity to contact a lawyer and make telephone calls. In other news, three loud explosions rocked Gaza's Zitim neighborhood today, scene of intense fighting between Israeli forces and Palestinian militants in recent days. There were no details on the cause of the explosions, which came shortly after an Israeli military helicopter fired a missile at a building in the area. Israeli forces have been operating in Zitim, trying to recover the remains of six soldiers killed in an explosion on Tuesday. Palestinian militants displayed soldiers' body parts. The Israeli army had no immediate comment on the explosions. Oil prices bounced back to 13-year peaks above $40 yesterday on doubts the top world exporter Saudi Arabia's call for a rise in OPEC quotas would spawn much to the supply in a tight international market. The increase was the highest level since Iraq's invasion of Kuwait in 1990. Saudi Arabia triggered a dollar slump in prices Monday by proposing an increase in OPEC production limits. The Saudi oil minister felt the increase was necessary to cool sizzling oil prices that threatened the global economy. President Bush appearing undaunted by the swirling Iraqi prisoner scandal and poor poll numbers at home, hit the campaign trail yesterday touting his initiatives against critics in the area of education. The president launched yesterday a three-day education tour. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband, Michael, at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband, Tom, through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband, Jack, on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. Chapstick Lip Moisturizer. That's right. Chapstick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is chapstick time, too. Use as directed.
Randy Rhodes.
You know, there's tons of prisons all over Iraq. We've rounded them up and we warehoused them and hog-tied them, left them in these positions. What information were you looking to get? Where's the oil? Where? You think you're a rock star? Show me where the rocks are. I want to drill. And I'm going to drill you until you tell me. Where's the geological survey, you bastard? Talk!
Randy Rhodes, afternoons 3 to 7 on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition. Today, Wednesday, a much-needed visit to Recovery Corner for President Bush. Plus, we'll take a look at the latest entry in my dream diary for those of you who care. That's all coming up. Right now, I'm here, of course, with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. It's been a very... Hello. I'm sorry.
Hello.
I just rambled right into my own little, like, you know, aggravation and outrage.
Good morning.
I'm still...
Outrage.
I'm right. Still outraged about, you know, about the torture, about the treatment of Iraqi prisoners. Now more outraged about this horrendous, disturbing beheading. And I can't agree with Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma... Inhofe, that I am, I'm not outraged about the outrage. I'm still in the first version of outrage.
Yeah.
And it's just so disturbing what happened. And the most disturbing thing to me is that, you know, there was no connection between Al-Qaeda and Iraq until George Bush went into Iraq with his big ideas and his neocon vision. And now there is a definite connection. It just cost this kid his life.
Yeah.
And it's been made public. And this is a direct reaction to not only the Abu Ghraib torture, but just, you know, to Bush's arrogance and his lack of vision in this region. And it's like, it's so, it's heartbreaking. You know, when I was talking yesterday about, you know, just the gratitude of not being in a country where, you know, people can't come grab us. And some guy sent us an email that he said, indeed, that's not true, that with the Patriot Act, people can come grab you if they want to.
Yeah.
But then to see this, just the fear in this guy's eyes and just, the moment to be in that situation and, the heinous... You know, these guys are real, you know, horrendous international thugs and criminals and horrible people. But I still say it is a direct repercussion of Bush's lack of vision and his arrogance and this war there.
Well, I think the best way that you can honor the service people that are doing their jobs in Iraq, the way that you can honor the memory of Nick Berg and in fact, Daniel Pearl, is to catch the people who are responsible for this. To find them and bring them to justice. Now, the White House says they're going to be about doing that. We have talked to people who say that it is almost impossible for them to actually find these people.
Wesley Clark said that when we talked to him.
Absolutely. He did say that.
And there were some people who were punished for the Daniel Pearl, a few of them, but there are, I think it's seven who are still at large, those who were actually responsible for the execution-style killing. So Yeah, and almost impossible to get them.
This guy is also, Nick Berg, is also Jewish, as was Daniel Pearl. I don't think that was a coincidence.
No. As a matter of fact, I think his father said that he carried some articles that would tend to, I'm not sure, some articles of clothing that might lead people to believe he was Jewish.
Yeah, he said he traveled with his prayer shawl. He wasn't sure whether he always had it on him, but his father did say, you know, publicly that he thought the fact, if they had found out and they knew he was Jewish, he thought that was probably the clincher. That's probably why he was killed.
And I think some of that is like, and they also called George Bush a dog of the Christian West. You know, and they, you know, that they see George Bush as instigated, as they have. The one thing George Bush and the terrorists have in common is they've instigated a holy war. Mm-hmm. You know, even this guy Boykin, the general who was once reprimanded for bringing Christian theology into lectures he gave in uniform, mm-hmm. is being implicated in this torture.
How did he, if he was reprimanded, how does he still have an army career? That's the thing I can't figure out.
Well, you know, this is the Bush administration. You know, nobody gets fired. Everybody just gets reprimanded. I'm going to, like, right now find what exactly it is, how he was implicated.
Yeah, Boykin. You know, one of the things that is troubling here, you know, there are 11 people missing, 11 foreigners who are missing in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And no one knows yet if the people that executed Nick Berg might not be holding some of those 11 people.
Right.
Everybody thinks, well, you know, it's Nick Berg, it's this one guy. We don't know how many other people those folks may in fact be holding.
Americans, you know, they could be like they're, you know, it's the weird thing and the telling thing is that many other countries' hostages have been released safely.
Yeah.
Three Czech journalists were freed on April 16th. A Canadian aid worker was freed. French journalist Alexandre Jordanov was taken hostage and freed on April 14th. The Japanese hostages were freed.
And there was a British guy who was also a contractor in the same way that Nick Berg was, you know, somewhat older, and he was kidnapped for 6 days. And I think he said he was released because Arab tribes in the area of Nasiriyah had helped release him. So it's, you know, it's clearly not everybody in Iraq, you know,
right.
behaves this way. But the common thread between the Nick Berg killing, given the fact that and what his father said, that he, you know, he believes that his being Jewish has something to do with it, and the abuse in the prison, the common thread is the dehumanization of people who are seen as other, whose identities are seen as other, and the extreme faction inside Iraq.
That, on both sides.
On both sides,
yeah.
But, you know, that is, sort of, you know, intransigent, can't see sense, can't see straight, sort of dehumanizes people. That's what's scary in all of this.
I just hope that this isn't used by the Republicans or the media in some way to justify the Abu Ghraib, you know, abuse. That, you know, it was already being said by some of the senators, you know, it's been sort of implied that
there has been that implication even before the word about Nicholas Berg, that, you know, the Iraqis had ill-treated American prisoners, although they don't put that much evidence out. Remember that Thomas Hamel said that he was quite well-treated and actually received some medical attention while he was in captivity. But, Mark, you know, you hit on something a little bit earlier about how this can be tied directly to the president and the kinds of things that he has said to the Iraqi people and specifically to many of the, quote, enemy, you know, showing a certain level of bravado. Let's go back to July 3rd of last year, the Roosevelt Room in the White House, and listen to our commander-in-chief.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
Mm-hmm. Well, looks like they brought it. You know, and it's the real delicate thing here in even talking about it is there are distinctions, you know, between, you know, who exactly, you know, what's going on in Iraq, you know, as a whole and what's going on with the al-Qaeda groups. I mean, these groups were not there. They were not there until chaos ensued after, you know, a failed sort of, you know, military, you know, I wouldn't even call it several military operations, is that there was no connection between al-Qaeda and Iraq until, you know, George Bush made it okay for them to seek haven there. And now they have a terrorist manufacturing plant that is now Iraq, and they are seeing it as out their new Afghanistan where they can, you know, start, you know, rallying.
I'm still shocked by the bring them on. I'm sorry, maybe I wasn't paying attention when he said it last summer, but bring them on. I mean, this is not a place for machismo sports talk. This is not some kind of a game. These are lives. These are American people's lives, lives of people in Iraq. Bring them on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was like a lot of people were like just completely freaked out about that. It's completely.
Well, remember that Saddam, before the fall of Iraq,
mm-hmm.
and Saddam wasn't the only one. There were many other Muslim clerics who said, bring people from outside Iraq, those of you who are Muslim fighters, militias, come to Iraq. Fight the demon Americans, however they worded it. But the bottom line was there was an open invitation on the part of people who were opposed to the U.S. occupation to have other people from other countries come in and fight against the Americans. And obviously, bin Laden heard the call and sent some of his people into Iraq.
And they think they're going to catch him, but they haven't even caught bin Laden. You know, it's arguable, being a conspiracy theorist, that, you know, maybe they already have him caught and they're just waiting for the timing. But they have a very difficult time tracking these terrorists down. And these guys are really, you know, they're evil bastards, and they know exactly what they're doing with these tapes. They know this is the tool of terror. They are using it, you know, the media as their weapon.
Later today, the Senate is going to see for 3 hours the pictures of the abuse of prisoners. And I understand also a video. I'm not sure exactly its content, how long it is or whatever.
Here's my impression of the Senate watching the pictures. Oh, God. Oh, no. Can we go back? Oh, yeah, it was bad. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you have 100 senators in 3 hours, so you do the math. They're not going to have that long to check out the pictures. But, of course, they won't be allowed to make copies. No staff will be allowed in the room containing the photos. And, you know, in the face of worldwide outrage over the abuse of Iraqi prisoners by U.S. soldiers, one lawmaker can't figure out what in the world all the fuss is about. We're talking, of course, about Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe. He's a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee.
These prisoners, you know, they're not there for traffic violations. If they're in cell block 1A or 1B, these prisoners, they're murderers, they're terrorists, they're insurgents. Many of them probably have American blood on their hands. And here we're so concerned about the treatment of those individuals.
Well, you know, when we talked to Torin Nelson the other day, who is a professional interrogator who worked with the Khaki Corporation in Iraq, he said that, you know, really not all of them were insurgents, that, you know, many of them were innocent people that were caught up in sweeps. There was, you know, just that was par for the course, that people would be brought in who didn't do anything and kept indefinitely.
And that was the problem. The assumption on the part of the interrogators was that they all maybe had potential connections to terrorist cells, which was ludicrous when around half of them were estimated just to be common criminals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and the interesting thing that came out of some of that testimony yesterday was that, you know, when Senator Warner said that, you know, these youngsters didn't understand the nuances of Muslim culture to have some people stage those photographs, which I understand were going to be shown to the prisoner's family by way of threat unless he came forward with some valuable information. The plot is sickening. That it was a very astute observation on his behalf that when they're claiming, when you have Taguba saying that it only went up as high as these brigadier generals, that, and we talked about this the other day, is that how could they have known, these people, that these scapegoats that they have, you know, like England and this guy Jeremy, what's his name? Civets, the nuances of Muslim culture enough to know exactly, you know, how to embarrass them, and then to, you know, to have the foresight to say we're going to use these pictures, you know, to frighten. It just doesn't make sense.
Compute.
It's got to be military intelligence, and that's why that guy Camboni was sitting there. Was that, you know, he knows those guys are like, what are we going to trust the CIA? We're going to trust military intelligence? I mean, there was a time where these guys had, you know, free rein to run covert operations everywhere in the world, and no one ever knew about it till 10, 15, 20 years later. When, you know, by that time people were like, well, yeah, who knew? Look at that, the CIA were bad, military intelligence was bad. These guys are, you know, they've always been devious dudes. Still ahead, Recovery Corner, and up next, My Dream Diary, and more right here on Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
The following is a real conversation between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber. It took place November 5th, 2003.
OnStar emergency, this is Bernard.
We have a fire in my house.
I'm going to contact the fire department. Just remain on the line.
County emergency.
This is Bernard with OnStar. I have a subscriber who's reporting their home is on fire. It's at 15.
No matter what your emergency, an OnStar advisor is always available to call for help.
Do we have emergency personnel on the line?
Okay, the fire department's been dispatched. Is everybody out of the house?
Yes.
Are you guys all in the car right now?
Yes.
Okay, you just got to try and stay calm, okay? They're going to be there soon.
I'm going to stay here on the line with you until the fire department gets here, okay?
Okay.
Many Buick vehicles are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your Buick dealer or Buick.com.
It'll be okay. They're here, okay?
Ma'am, you did say that the fire department's there now?
Yes, they're there.
Please,
thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Thank you.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready. An OnStar conversation, January 12th, 2004.
OnStar Center, this is Barbara.
Barbara, I locked my keys in my car. My dog is in there.
Which vehicle is it that you need to get back into?
The 04 Yukon Denali.
Do you have your OnStar account number?
547.
When you've got precious cargo, it's good to know that OnStar can unlock your doors in most cases.
We should get it unlocked momentarily. What kind of dog do we have inside the vehicle?
It's a schnauzer.
All right. And your vehicle doors are now unlocked for you.
They are. You guys are fantastic. You're the best. You're the best. There is nothing like OnStar.
Well, thank you very much. We love hearing that.
You guys, unbelievable. I mean, in 2 seconds, it was done like that. I'm so happy.
I'm so glad that worked out for you. And how's our schnauzer?
He's okay. He's happy, too. Maybe we'll bring him to meet you. That's it.
Many GMC trucks and SUVs are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your GMC dealer or GMC.com. OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
Good morning. It's Wednesday. Yes, I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Hey.
Pretty heavy news day, but we're going to buffer that with some comedy because that's what we do here on Morning Sedition. We do a really strange thing to some people out there. We do serious news and commentary and comedy. I mean, I know it's really difficult for some of you to understand that. Like, hey, wait, I don't get it. So now we're shifting to lighthearted comedy piece in the middle of heavy news that makes me feel sort of, you know, important and concerned and part of the great global tragedy that's unfolding. What nerve this Morning Sedition has to do a comedy piece when there's pain in the planet. Well, right now it's time for my dream diary.
Nice work. I like
my my therapist has told me to keep a dream diary and bring it into him on Thursdays, but I bring it in here every day to give it a spin. So this is last night. Let me try and make this out. I am hundreds of feet tall, wearing a yellow plastic raincoat with a matching yellow fisherman's hat for maximum protection and or buoyancy. And hip waders. I got hip waders on. Uh-oh. And here's the good part. I control the weather. I raise my enormous yellow plastic sleeves, and down upon the earth falls rain, hail, sleet, snow, earth, wind, and fire. The Commodores, cool in the gang. I am a funky weather god. Feel my liquid. Monsoons, tornadoes, hurricanes, partly cloudy with a 30% chance of light evening showers, clearing by midday. Should be a nice weekend, so get out those rollerblades. I am the god of bad news, and I will rain down on you, George W. Bush, and you, Dick Cheney, and you, Donald Rumsfeld, and you, Condi Rice. It's raining me. Hallelujah. Then, just then, I start to catch cold in my dream. I feel achy. My nose runs because it's a dream, and it's actually running. Phlegm, buckets of phlegm. Suddenly, I don't want to control the weather anymore. I just like some soup, actually, and some flannel jammies, and someone to stroke my forehead and call me their brave little fireman. And then I turn into a cube of raspberry jello, wiggling and wiggly. And I woke up and my bed was filled with humidity and wheat. What is that about? These are turning into poems. You know, as I read them, I felt like I was reading a Whitman piece. I sing a song of me.
Walt Whitman or?
Yeah.
Sam
Walt
Whitman?
Walt Whitman.
Christy told Whitman?
Yeah, right.
Walt Whitman, Walter. The man. So what's going on now?
Well, have you ever heard of Zephyr Hills, Florida?
I have. I know what's going on there.
Well, the city council in Zephyr Hills has been wrestling with a very, very tough issue for some time now. Mm-hmm. And that is renaming a street to Martin Luther King Avenue, which they did, and now they have apparently decided to change it back to its much more
prosaic
name,
surprise,
Sixth Avenue.
Yeah, they found out there was a little racism down the street.
Well, see, this is absolutely nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
In the black community, there's been for years the idea that there are certain places, certain people who are automatically identified with black people. For example, if there is a Lincoln school somewhere in a town, doesn't matter where in America, it's a predominantly black school.
Is that true? Is that really true?
Well, it's what it's urban legend. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Same thing with Jefferson.
Yeah.
For a long time, Jefferson and Lincoln, you know, the odds were it was a predominantly black school. Some years ago, well before all of this Zephyr Hills nonsense came up, there was a huge dispute in, I believe it was in California, where there was some a predominantly white school district that was going to change the name of its high school to Martin Luther King High School. The parents went berserk.
I guess not a liberal parent body.
Well, they considered themselves to be pretty liberal. Their problem was they figured, well, when my kid gets ready to go to college and the college admissions officer sees that he's graduating from Martin Luther King High School,
right,
they'll say he's black and he won't get into the school.
It'll activate the racism inherent in the system.
But what about grades? Don't they care about grades more than the name of
school? No. Here's the problem. The assumption is that college admissions officers will not pay attention to grades from black schools because they won't think they're as that the standards are as rigorous as at white schools.
Oh, so there's been grade inflation, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the assumption here with people who say that if their address is Martin Luther King Boulevard, the property values will go down and real estate people won't look at their real estate.
Yeah. Now, the underpinning to all this, mm-hmm. and I say this because I was around when the first rash of Martin Luther King names started coming out. There were towns that deliberately named Martin Luther King Avenue, Boulevard, Drive, Street, whatever, in the worst black neighborhoods in those towns. Okay,
I've gotten off the highway at some of those.
Keep people
because
happy?
They didn't like King.
Oh, okay.
All right. It was as simple as that. They did not like Martin Luther King. Therefore, we're going to memorialize Martin Luther King by naming the worst slum in our town after him.
Right, by putting it on Crack Street.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Heaven forbid they should spend the money trying to figure out how to clean up the slum and improve life for people living there.
That's too much.
So you're saying that like city councils in some cities were, you know, actually had a kind of racist foresight to say, look, they want their street, we'll give them their street.
That's
we're going to put it right down there where you. You know, you can buy crack and hookers and, you know.
Look,
right.
The town I one of the towns I spent quality time in when I was a kid in Connecticut, named Martin Luther King Drive, and they knew this was the biggest dope-dealing block in the entire city. They knew this going in.
Yeah.
And they changed it to Martin Luther. So, you know, now you're going over Martin Luther King?
Yeah.
And, you know, there was that kind of deliberate targeting back then. But now you have situations like in Zephyr Hills where people are afraid that they don't want to be associated, first of all, with anybody black. There were some people who were quoted in the story about this, because I read this yesterday, who actually felt that Martin Luther King was not deserving of having a street named after.
Oh, yeah, some people like Arizona, they wouldn't even have Martin Luther King Day. Why don't they just call it I Have a Dream Street?
Yeah,
they could have a solution. It's like marriages in America where people can't decide if they're going to change their name or take their husband's name, so they kind of merge them.
They're going to do that.
They either hyphenate or they don't, and they should just call it the 6th Martin Luther King Avenue.
Okay. But they're actually going to do usually what they do is they go Martin Luther King Drive and then they put 6th Street
underneath it. And it keeps people employed, which heaven knows we need more jobs, so that's more jobs for street signs. Painters, that mm-hmm. could be the solution, or you can just, you know, acronym it SMLKAA.
Yeah.
Well, remember that here in New York, there is a 6th Avenue also, and years ago it was named Avenue of the Americas.
Right.
They decided to change the name. They put the flags of all the different American countries on it, and it never took. Everybody kept calling it 6th Avenue mm-hmm. in the face of people, you know, changing the address. I mean, and so eventually they just went back to 6th Avenue.
And some of the signs are still up, different names.
And they find out, this is a weird thing about all that, is that some of these people thought they knew their neighbors.
Yep.
That's really what happened.
God, I love the Verve. Straight ahead, the presidential daily briefing. You on the telephones, and up next, famed attorney Alan Dershowitz. Stay tuned. This is Air America Radio.
Good evening, everyone. First time singing karaoke here. Coming at you with a little hot cross buns.
That's a bad decision, Carl.
We're here at the GM Center for Good Decision Making, where we help ordinary people make good decisions.
Try another one, Carl.
Okay, tonight I'll be singing a medley of Gregorian chants.
It's our hope here at the center that when it comes time to buy a used car or truck, people will make the right decision with GM-certified used vehicles. Each one gets a 100-plus point inspection, bumper-to-bumper limited warranty, even a 3-day 150-mile satisfaction guarantee, all from the GM brand you trust. Let's try again.
I'm Carl. I signed up accidentally, and now I'm going to sit down.
There it is, pal.
GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car.
Now is the time to get a GM-certified used vehicle from a participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Buick, Oldsmobile, or GMC dealer. All qualified buyers can get 2.9% GMAC financing for up to 36 months on 1997 to 2002 Sunfires and Cavaliers. See your dealer for details and take delivery by October 31st, 2002.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. The front page of a widely read New York tabloid says it all, pure evil. Papers talking about the senseless beheading of American contractor Nick Berg at the hands of an Islamic group affiliated with Al-Qaeda. Recent execution is just part of the mounting dilemma the Bush administration is facing with its continued U.S. occupation of Iraq. Vice President Dick Cheney wants a halt to the release of more photos and videos of prisoners of abuse. Cheney says it sensationalizes the situation. American Army Reservist Lindy England told the North Carolina television station last night that she thought she was doing her job because her superiors praised her work that she was doing. England is at the center of the controversy of prisoner abuse in Iraq. She's the American soldier photographed alongside naked male Iraqi detainees. And the Israeli government soldiers are seeking to get the remains of fellow soldiers slain in the roadside bombing early in the week. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
The Chicago Underground Daily calls it an amazing cinematic wonder, spellbinding.
My daughter, I'm not sure if I can make it.
Father, you must remain strong, for I bring good news.
You bring good news?
Yes, I just save a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Weeds, like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others, can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
The O'Franken Factor.
Wednesday on the O'Franken Factor, more civilized discussion and intellectual debate with our very special guest, Norman Ornstein, from the American Enterprise Institute. Our topic will be what incredible rat bastards George Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, and Dick Cheney are. Join us, won't you?
Al Franken and Catherine Lanfer. The O'Franken Factor. Weekdays, noon to 3 on Air America Radio.
Good morning, it's Wednesday. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. We're talking about a lot of things that are going on in the world. And joining us by phone to help us from Boston, Massachusetts, is renowned Harvard Law professor and litigator Alan Dershowitz. His latest book is America on Trial, Inside the Legal Battles That Transformed Our Nation. Good morning, Mr. Dershowitz.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for being on. So there's a lot to talk about. What are your observations, obviously regarding the Iraqi prison scandal and also, you know, the beheading of Nick Berg?
Well, I think the one thing that's very clear is that the Supreme Court, when it decides these very important cases that it has before it about the Guantanamo detainees and about the rights of American citizens who are picked up in Iraq or Afghanistan or elsewhere to receive a trial by jury, I think these pictures have changed everything. I would have predicted 3 weeks ago that the court would come down with a devastatingly wrong decision, giving the military complete discretion and accepting the Bush administration's argument to trust the military.
Right.
That's all changed now. These pictures are more important than all of the briefs and all of the oral arguments filed by all of the lawyers. The Supreme Court follows the news. And I just can't imagine the two swing justices now voting with the government and saying essentially the courts will stay out of this business. The courts are getting into this business. So in the end, when we're talking about a 20, 30-year horizon, which Supreme Court decisions have, mm-hmm. these pictures may in the end produce more good than harm, ironically.
Yeah, were you under the impression initially that they would be harmful?
Well, initially, first, I was very happy that there were pictures because I knew this kind of abuse was happening. I had written about this when I wrote my article about torture warrants, saying, you know, you should never be able to use any extraordinary methods of interrogation without at least getting authorization from the very top. I predicted that if we have a wink and a nod policy whereby the highest people in our administration say, oh, we don't touch anybody, we just ask some questions, but they wink and they nod while intelligence officers on the ground do what they have to do, that we were going to get this kind of thing. In fact, I had documented the fact that this was happening. It's just the photographs that make the difference, as Rumsfeld acknowledged in front of Congress. He said, if not for the digital cameras and the photographs, nobody would know about this. And the only upset that I think we're really hearing from the hypocrites in Washington is, why did you have to take pictures of this stuff?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's why they're all worked up about that. That's the biggest problem that they have right now, is somebody took pictures of the truth.
Right.
So you believe that it was torture?
Well, it's a matter of degree. It's not like what happened to Nick Berg in Iraq yesterday. It's not like what used to happen to Saddam Hussein. Torture is a matter of degree, and humiliation and having female interrogators and this kind of thing is very common. The British did it in Northern Ireland. There's no question that the French did it, of course, and much worse in Algeria. We've been doing it for years. The greatest hypocrisy was President Bush apologizing to King Abdullah. The Jordanians, who specialized in torture, they not only torture dissidents and suspected terrorists, they torture the relatives of dissidents, the mothers of dissidents, Egypt as well. So the hypocrisy coming from the Arab world.
And then not even apologizing to the right Arabs. I mean, it was a displaced apology to the wrong guy and a criminal, as you're saying.
Well, what you're doing is you're apologizing to the people that you need most. And then you see, you know, this morning Hamas holding up the head of an Israeli soldier and mutilating their bodies. You know, what we did is terrible. It's terrible because it violated our own standards, not because it violated some Arab or Islamic norm. Look, if it turns out that Muslim prisoners are uniquely susceptible to interrogation by having them questioned by women, that's perfectly legitimate to do. Let us take advantage of their absurd sexist norms if that can get us information. But when it comes to doing some of the other things that we did and that the photographs show, that violates our own norms, and we have to live by our own norms, not somebody else's norms.
Right.
We're talking to Harvard Law professor and litigator Alan Dershowitz. Alan, before I ask you a question, can I just ask you to just clarify something you mentioned a couple minutes ago about female interrogators? You mean that there were female interrogators being used by the military, which was offensive to Iraqi prisoners?
That's right.
Okay.
And that's a good thing. We should offend prisoners if that will help us get interrogation. We should play on their sexism. We should have Jewish interrogators. We should have, you know, atheist interrogators. Whatever it takes to break down their resistance, that's fair interrogation technique. I draw the line at physical abuse. and there seems to be some evidence of physical abuse. What I'm much more concerned about is the photographs of the dead Iraqis with injuries and the autopsies that showed that there were several, quote, homicides committed. Rough interrogation psychologically has been approved by the United States Supreme Court, even for Americans.
So, Anders, my question is that, given that you support an outright ban on torture, but you would argue that, if somehow the U.S. is going to rely on it, that it should somehow be regulated by law. Can we count on Congress to do this?
I'm not sure we can. I think perhaps after this we can. But my position on torture is very simple. I'm against it completely. If people think that in the extraordinary case, which we have never had, of the ticking bomb terrorist, the man who has a nuclear bomb that's about to blow up New York City or Washington, and the only way of getting the information is by applying some form of non-lethal physical extreme pain. If you think we need that, then you have to get a warrant from the Chief Justice, the President, the Secretary of Defense, so that there's accountability. My argument's not in favor of torture, it's in favor of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the lack of accountability in the Abu Ghraib prison, which led to these abuses. It was just up to the individual. You heard two generals testifying yesterday, one saying that humiliation and breaking the prisoners down is perfectly okay under the Geneva Convention and under American standards, and the other one saying it wasn't okay, and Senator Kennedy pointing a finger at them saying, if you two generals don't agree, how do you expect the intelligence officers or the military police on the ground to know where the appropriate lines are? It's that lack of accountability standards and guidelines that I've been railing against for the last 2 years and that I continue to rail against in my new book, America on Trial.
Alan Dershowitz, can you hang out with us over the break?
Sure, happy to.
Okay, great. So we'll be back with Alan Dershowitz. We're going to take a few of your calls at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. We're going to talk to you about whether you think torture is ever acceptable right here on Air America Radio.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Mary, can you overnight these to Boston?
Sure, do you want them first thing? Or
it's a meteor, and it's coming right at me!
Not many things knock you out like a migraine.
I suppose you'll want to take the rest of the day off then.
But you can knock out a migraine with Ralpax. Ralpax Alitriptan Hydrobromide relieves migraine pain and symptoms such as nausea and sensitivity to light and sound. For some people, it starts to work in 30 minutes. Ask your doctor. Call 1-866-3-RALPAX or go to RELPAX.com. Ralpax. Don't let a migraine keep you down. Only your doctor can decide if Ralpax is right for you. If you have certain types of heart disease, a history of stroke, TIA, or uncontrolled blood pressure, you should not take Ralpax. Very rarely certain people, even some without heart disease, have had serious heart-related problems. Talk to your doctor if you have risk factors for heart disease, such as smoking, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol, or if you're pregnant or nursing. Certain medicines that are potent CYP3A4 inhibitors should not be taken with Ralpax, so talk to your doctor if you're taking other medicines. See our ad in Fitness Magazine.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies.
All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLO-NASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLO-NASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
It's 43 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We're taking your calls in a moment at 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. We are on the phone with Harvard Law professor and litigator Alan Dershowitz. His latest book is America on Trial, Inside the Legal Battles That Transformed Our Nations. Mr. Dershowitz, now that so many people, the Red Cross, and we had a professional interrogator on the show the other day, are saying that so many of the people at Guantanamo are innocent, does that give them a legal basis to act on their behalf?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, I think the Supreme Court will now decide that the federal courts have jurisdiction over this area, which is controlled by the United States. After all, if you went down to Guantanamo and committed a crime down there, you'd be tried by an American court. It's America, just because it's leased long-term from Cuba. Who is it a person supposed to go to get relief? To Castro? I mean, it's an insane proposal that American law doesn't apply in Guantanamo. So I would hope that after the Supreme Court decides its case, that the detainees in Guantanamo will have legal access to counsel, legal access to the courts, and finally, an ability to have their status determined. Are they POWs? Are they unlawful combatants? Are they criminals? Whatever status they're in, they can't be in this legal black hole that they're now in, which invites the kind of abuse. And believe me, we're going to learn about abuse in Guantanamo. We're going to learn about abuse in Afghanistan. Whenever you have military police and intelligence officers and no access to the courts and no legal status, there's going to be abuse.
Counselor, it's good to talk to you. I met you a couple of weeks ago at the trial of the Yankees. I was actually the jury foreman. Sorry,
great.
I couldn't help you out.
A lousy verdict, but you know, that's
what can I tell you? Let me ask you, just as a matter of, I guess, legality, who do you think should try Saddam Hussein? There seems to be some back and forth about whether or not he's going to be handed over to Iraq officials and who those officials are. Where do you think and who do you think should try him?
Well, there's no good answer. There's no perfect answer. And I think the least worst answer is turning him over to an Iraqi tribunal. But it's going to be a show trial. And, you know, the Iraqi legal system hasn't been in operation ever, really. And, you know, to have the first trial of a new legal system, the trial of one of the great dictators of the 20th century, is demanding too much of any legal system. So, you know, I think we just have to make sure we avoid a catastrophe whereby he either goes free or, you know, he's subjected to a kangaroo court. It's not going to be a pretty picture.
You couldn't put him in front of an international tribunal in The Hague or something?
There is no international tribunal at the moment. The international court, criminal court, doesn't have jurisdiction of any crimes that were committed before the court came into being, which is only a couple of years. And neither Iraq nor the United States are signatories to that treaty.
Alan Dershowitz, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Alan Dershowitz, his latest book is America on Trial, Inside the Legal Battles That Transformed Our Nation. We're now taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. Tom in Texas. Tom.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Thank you very much for taking the call. I agree with Mr. Dershowitz in the extreme case that he had mentioned for torture of a prisoner, that's fine, but otherwise, absolutely not. I used to be an MP in the Army, and we have a sense that even as an enlisted soldier, if my superiors agreed with what I was doing and I knew it was wrong, I still was held accountable, as they should be held accountable for allowing me to do that also.
Right. So
you know what? That's a good point, and that speaks to kind of why so many people in the military are, you know, furious about what has been allowed to happen, because they are vulnerable and they are worried that the junior people are going to be scapegoated. There's
right.
Just one quick thing I wanted to say.
But they are being that, aren't they? I mean, it seems like that's exactly
how they
what
are, especially with the show trial of Jeremy Civitz coming up.
Okay, go ahead.
But there was one good thing, I think, that, you know, a point that I'd sort of forgotten, really, that Alan Dershowitz brought up about the U.S. not being a signatory to the international court, and so there can be no international tribunal. Another example of how the Bush administration shows extreme kind of arrogance and hubris, has not signed on to these international accords.
Of any kind.
And ultimately, its goal of prosecuting Saddam and bringing him to justice could possibly be undermined by that lack of foresight.
Well, that's
amazing.
That's a neoconservative ideology. It is exactly what they laid out, you know, in the Pax Americana. This is all, you know, par for the course to them. Margaret in Texas. Margaret?
Yes. I just wanted to make a comment.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
About I find it kind of disingenuous for them to talk about that this abuse occurred. So many of the reservists that are there are drawn from all these small town prisons that are all over the country, these little private fiefdoms where torture goes on all the time. And the system just seems to overlook it, and we're so law and order that we don't care about them.
Right. Thanks a lot, Margaret.
You know, she brought up an important point.
About the American prison system
and the tie-in.
Right.
Between the two.
Because go ahead. I mean.
Well, no, because, you know, the guy that supposedly got Lindy England pregnant was a former prison guard.
Right.
And in many instances, remember that prisons in states all over the country have been privatized. These are no longer state-run institutions. They are, in many cases, run by private entities who pay their guards a little bit better than the government does. And they do have some, you know, they're very bottom-line oriented, kind of like HMOs.
Right.
And to some extent, they're...
Black and Hutt.
Yeah. Exactly.
This stuff, and what you're saying is this stuff goes on in American prisons, and some of that was a holdover, but not the planning of it, I don't think.
Not the planning, no.
Not knowing what would definitely insult Muslims. That's got to go higher up,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, and there has been an investigation in the Brooklyn Detention Center where there has been abuse of, you know, post 9/11 of Muslim inmates.
Mm-hmm. Right now it's time for the presidential daily briefing for today, Wednesday. This is, of course, the highly classified top secret document across George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is titled, New Saddam Threat, His Mouth. Mr. President, it's come to our attention that the U.S. government is denying rumors that it will hand over custody of Saddam Hussein to Iraqi authorities before June 30th. This office strongly urges you to keep Saddam in U.S. custody for as long as possible, and after that, have him cryogenically frozen. If he is allowed to return to his native country, an unmuzzled Saddam might be inspired to tell potentially embarrassing stories about his long friendship with Donald Rumsfeld, the billions in tax dollars meant for U.S. schools we threw at him over the years, and even that night in Baghdad with the hot tub and the camel. Imperative. That last story can never get out. Never. Plus, it's well within his capacity to write a politically damaging tell-all memoir that could be released before November. This could counteract your secret plan with the Saudis to lower gas prices just before the election, guaranteeing a second term. We recommend implementation of Operation Silent Dictator, send Saddam body double to Iraq for trial, and freeze the real one. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
Mm. Busy, busy, busy.
We will be back with Recovery Corner. Perhaps William from Chappaqua will be with us. And you know, more news, commentary, and guests on Air America Radio.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experience professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Hey, honey?
Yeah?
Today's Mother's Day, you know, and I wanted to do something special for you, so Here you go, a little gift from me to you.
Oh, wow. Did you wrap this yourself?
Did I? Of course I did. Go ahead, open it up. Well?
Well, it's a steak.
Yeah, I made it myself. Cooked it over Kingsford charcoal. What do you think?
I think I need a fork.
I think so, too.
Oh, and something to get the wrapping paper off my tongue.
Mother's Day is here, and it's the perfect time to grill. So grab a bag of Kingsford charcoal and head for the backyard. You'll get the great flavor of Kingsford charcoal, and you'll keep Mom out of the kitchen, which ought to make any Mother's Day. Kingsford, because taste is everything.
In the place I want to go, Greyhound Road, 24/7, it's cool. So when my pockets get low, I know they're friends I know.
I got my suitcase, I got my boots laced. The next stop, I'ma buy me some toothpaste. I'm rolling out, headed to a new place. On Greyhound, riding state to state.
Hook up with a super friendly fare and get rolling for less. Some restrictions apply. Call 1-800-231-2222.
I'm a Greyhound rider.
Greyhound rider, I can trust. You can get hooked up.
I'm a Greyhound rider.
Oh, Greyhound, and you can drive it to us.
Wednesday morning, the sun is rising in my brain. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Mark Riley is here. Hey. Sue Ellicott is here. And I am Mark, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
And in the recovery corner, every day I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. And as always, I'm offering my help. I'm reaching out to my sponsee, George W. Now, after we had our talk yesterday about not going after Syria, you went right out, declared a state of national emergency, and imposed sanctions on them anyway. I got to say, I'm a little hurt. Don't you listen to me? All right, look, I'm not hurt. I'm disappointed. I thought we had a closer relationship. I mean, you're my sponsee. Here's the thing. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. I thought you learned that in one of your failed businesses, or maybe when you were flopping as governor of Texas, or this whole Iraq debacle. And that's what you're doing now. Don't you see? You're repeating the same thing, expecting different results. Classic step one stuff here. You are insane. Admit it. You are powerless against this disease. Let go. There's no I in God. And even though you're pushing me away, I'm here for you, George W. You're not going to get rid of me that easy. I'm going to rub your face in goodness until you turn the corner. It's me or the bottle, buddy. And remember, the bottle will remember your birthday. I'm in the book. Call me up. Remember, first things first, anger is just a letter away from danger. It works if you work. It's a work at your worth to keep the plug in the jug. God doesn't wake up and think as you. Do the next right thing. Think. Don't drink. That's Recovery Corner for today.
I hope I'm helping.
My name's in the book.
Oh, your name's in the book.
I'm in the book. I think that's a reference to give me a call. You can look me up. That's
sure.
What I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't think my name is actually in the book, no.
Not that book.
The black
the phone book. The phone book. I'm sure that it is in his black book. Do you ever wonder about that?
Anybody whose name, who has Mark Maron in their book, please call.
Do you ever wonder about that, though?
What?
Whether you got a file? You got a file? You got an FBI file?
Oh, I know I got a file.
You got a file? Why do you get a file?
Because of my green card.
Anybody with a green card gets it.
You guys, we got a call. We have William from Chappaqua. I just realized that Clinton, he finished his book. Did you hear that last night?
I heard, yeah.
So, of course, he's going to call us. William, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Congratulations on finishing the book.
Thank you so much. I got to tell you, I never waited longer for a climax in my life.
So what are you going to do with all this new free time you got?
Well, they say idle hands are the devil's playground, and it's a mighty inviting playground. I'm feeling these strange urges coming over me now that I don't have this policy.
Oh, wait. There's Bill from Harlem.
Bill. Oh, no. It's Bill from Harlem.
What's
How
up?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, man.
It's Christmas, William. Get out of bed. Get packed. We got things to do. We're hitting the road, buddy. Reporters, readings, publicists. You know what I mean? 25-year-old blonde girl straight out of Kappa, Kappa Gamma. Get your backpack. We have so much to do in so little time.
I guess
but
you're
I'm
happy
gonna have to add another chapter then. We're talking novels, buddy. Miniseries. Me and you. I need you. You warm them up. I finish them up.
Sounds like you got a sequel in the works.
Oh, there's so much to write about. He's been up there in Chappaqua writing all day. I call him Willy Wonk. Come on, get out of there, William.
Keep a diary, you guys. Keep a diary.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Our final hour is coming up here on Morning's Edition. We'll have more on the murder of Nicholas Berg, the Morning Devotional Plus, former CIA officer and friend of the room, Jack Rice, all coming up here on Air America Radio.
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner? Think about this. Every Ford Quality Check certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous 115-point inspection. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000-mile powertrain, limited warranty coverage, and 24-hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 3.9% interest rate from a private owner? I don't think so. If we don't certify it, it's just used. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6 year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There's been overwhelming reaction to the execution of American Nick Berg of Pennsylvania. Independent contractor was beheaded by Islamic elements in Iraq with ties to Al-Qaeda. Group says Berg's death was to avenge the spate of prisoner abuse cases that have been witnessed around the world through photographs and videos. Berg executions seemed to bring to a screeching halt, however, the political sniping in this country between Democratic and Republican elected leaders. U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer of New York says the execution was appalling and will not make the U.S. cut and run in the face of heightened hostilities. Republican Senator Wayne Allard of Colorado thinks the government's release of more photos will continue to trigger incidents like the Berg killing. Meanwhile, a U.S. official says American civilian who was beheaded in Iraq had been warned to leave the country, but he refused. The official who spoke on the condition that he not be identified says Berg was in Iraq on his own accord. The official promises more information later today. Berg was the owner of a small telecommunications business. He is shown in the video on an Al-Qaeda-linked website being beheaded by a masked men. U.S. Officials detained Berg for 13 days during March and April. Berg's parents say he told them by telephone that he hadn't been mistreated, although say he wasn't allowed to contact a lawyer or make phone calls. His family last heard from Berg April 9th. In other news, making headlines, American Army Reservist Lindy England took to the airwaves last night to explain her innocence of any impropriety in connection with the prisoner abuse issue. England told a North Carolina television station that her superiors made her feel that she had done anything but wrong.
To all of us who have been charged, we all agree that we don't feel like we were doing things that we weren't supposed to because we were told to do them. We think everything was justified because we were instructed to do this and to do that.
Army Reservist Lindy England, who remains at the center of the prisoner abuse case in Abu Ghraib. Three loud explosions rocked Gaza's Zeitoun neighborhood today on the scene of intense fighting between Israeli forces and Palestinian militants in recent days. There were no details on the cause of the explosions, which came shortly after an Israeli military helicopter fired a missile at a building in the area. It appears that Senate Republicans may have engineered a vote on a crucial bill to embarrass John Kerry. As the Democratic presidential candidate campaign made in Kentucky yesterday. The Senate rejected an extension of unemployment benefits by just one vote. The extension had been a Democratic priority. A Bush campaign spokesman said Kerry was too busy playing politics to do his job. But Democrats claim that Republicans purposely made the vote so close in order to make Senator Kerry look responsible for the Democratic loss. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
If you want the outside of your home to look great, head to your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store for the Curb Appeal event. Now save $7 a gallon on SuperPaint Exterior, our best-selling exterior paint, and save 25% on Deckscapes, our new premium deck care system, for the look you want with the durability you need. So stop in and save on the things that give your home that extra curb appeal. Ask how. Ask now. Ask Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec, nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
LendingTree.com presents 2 steps for controlling the home buying process. Step 1. Go to LendingTree.com and get up to 4 great mortgage offers within hours. Step 2. Stay at LendingTree.com and get up to 4 leading real estate agents within hours. So, to choose the mortgage and agent that's right for you, call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com. See website for details and state license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply.
Listen to Air America Radio whenever and wherever you want. We're available 24/7 on the internet. Just hit our website, www.airamericaradio.com. All you need to do is complete a quick online registration. Once that's done, you're ready to take us live. Air America uses the Real One player for our streaming. www.airamericaradio.com. Streaming now, live, 24/7. www.airamericaradio.com.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, Wednesday, we'll tell you what President Bush will be doing today and what every good liberal will do as long as they're just following orders. Plus, our buddy, the former CIA case officer, is back to weigh in on the Iraqi interrogation scandals. All coming up here on Wednesday morning. Mark Riley, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Sue Ellicott.
Hello.
Good morning. It's been a brutal day out in the world. We're all really sort of reeling from this Nick Berg killing.
Murder.
And the, you know, murder and the video that it came in. I can't say enough just, you know, how like, just to think about this poor kid, you know what I mean, in that situation. And we don't really know much about him. What do we know about Nick Berg?
He was 26 years old.
Yeah.
He was a supporter of the war. Mm-hmm. He was a supporter of the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
He is a well-traveled individual, lived a life of adventure, according to the Pasadena Star News. He took college classes at Cornell, Drexel, the University of Pennsylvania, and the University of Oklahoma. He had an electronics company that apparently set up equipment at the Republican National Convention 4 years ago in Philadelphia. And at one point was in Ghana teaching villagers there how to make bricks with small amounts of material. You look at it on its face, it's almost contradictory. But we do know that the United States government, for whatever reason, is trying to, insulate itself from any criticism here by saying that he had been advised to leave Iraq, but had refused to do so. Now, it's interesting that the person that said this is quoted as a U.S. official, mm-hmm. a person who demanded anonymity in saying this. And there's supposed to be further information coming out later today about exactly what the circumstances were. But we do know that he was stopped at a checkpoint by Iraqi security, then turned over to the United States or to the coalition forces, and was detained apparently without contact with the outside world for 13 days.
No lawyer.
No lawyer.
No charges, and that his family filed suit against the Defense Department, Donald Rumsfeld, and then, surprise, surprise, he was released the following day. We also know from interviews that his father has given that he was due back in the United States, and the dad went to JFK Airport in Newark, Kennedy Airport, to pick him up, and he didn't arrive, and then the... Then that's when the FBI told him that he wasn't on his way back, that they had detained him. And we also know that his father feels that he was probably targeted for the killing because he was Jewish.
Yes, he did have some articles.
But clearly an idealistic young man. He supported the Bush administration. He supported the war. And he felt that he could contribute as one of the private contractors in rebuilding the telecommunications infrastructure.
That was his choice.
Iraq.
You know, he didn't want to, he wanted to be, he wanted to be productive, not destructive.
Yeah. But now, there are an awful lot of questions here.
Mm-hmm.
For example, he was held incommunicado in U.S. custody for 13 days, but who in the U.S. structure, command structure, whatever, spoke to him? And what were the substance of those conversations? I'd be very curious to find out exactly why they held him for so long and under what circumstances. Were they trying to get some kind of intelligence from him? Did they think he was something that he was not?
Right. And what happened after that? How did he get into the hands of these, horrendous terrorists?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's amazing, though, isn't it?
There's a weird sort of black hole as to, we don't know much about his time in Iraq, in relation to his detainment and then his capture.
And he's been gone for a month. I mean, he was last heard from April 9th.
And this is like, again, this is like Al-Qaeda is taking responsibility for this. Zarqawi is taking responsibility for this. These are people that should have been caught a long time ago. These were people that were not connected to Iraq. Al-Qaeda was not connected to Iraq until George Bush invaded Iraq and opened the doors to this type of activity. This shouldn't be used as a means for the Republican or anybody to justify the torture in Abu Ghraib. It is a reaction, they said on the video of the killing, that reaction to the torture in Abu Ghraib. And this is can all be, I think, blamed and traced to George Bush's administration and Donald Rumsfeld. They should be held responsible for all of it.
I'm particularly interested in the sort of mini Gitmo aspect to it, the fact that he was held by the kind of U.S. by the U.S. coalition with no lawyer, with no charges, basically was incommunicado, and the spin that the White House is trying to put on this now by saying that, obviously their thoughts and prayers are with the victim and his family, that we understand. I think our thoughts and sympathy are exactly the same. But that Scott McClellan said that this beheading shows the true nature of the, the people opposed to democracy in Iraq, and they are going to go heavy, heavy, heavy on that to try and absolve themselves any responsibility for having created a situation in which this happened, and they don't want played up the fact that the family sued the Defense Department. But I think that's incredibly interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's also interesting that, many of the other hostages from other countries, were released.
Were released, yeah.
That this is clearly, an issue, this is an American, issue that they have with us, with the Americans. They call Bush the Christian, what did they call him?
The dog of the Christian West.
Yeah, West, something like that. Yeah. Some say, some articles said West, some articles said dog of the Christians. He was a Jew, Nicholas Berg was, or Nick Berg.
Yes.
And that has, that has implications. This thing is going
to
unfold.
It has anti-Semitic. We ought to say it has anti-Semitic implications.
Yes,
like
Daniel Pearl was targeted.
There's obviously we see in many of these communications references to Israel, references to Jews. Not in this particular situation, but we've seen and heard that before. Now, on Capitol Hill, of course, the outrage was palpable, as one would expect. And South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham was very out front in his words.
The beheading video is not only shocking, but it should be a wake-up call as to exactly who we're dealing with here. We're dealing with an enemy that has absolutely no boundaries, that's despicable in every way, and really behaves like animals in the name of God.
Also an enemy that wasn't in Iraq until this conflict started. And it's become very challenging to separate, you know, what he, I mean, see, they're already trying to spin it into, this is the way all of Iraqis behave that we're fighting. Mm-hmm. And it's not the same people. It's a racist idea at the core of it, that you can't just use this video to say, to justify, number one, Abu Ghraib, but to justify that, like, this is the enemy that we're fighting in Iraq, because there's a lot of different things going on in Iraq.
Do you feel that's what they're doing? Do you feel they are trying to kind of spin it into making it kind of bigger than just these you know, extremists? I mean, I think that
they want to put the face of that enemy on all of the enemies.
Really? I feel that they are trying to kind of play up the power and the stop at nothing side of the extremist groups inside Iraq. They still are playing on that fear of terrorist cells and, you know, extremist insurgents.
Well, it's, you know, the truth about the neoconservatives within the administration is that, you know, they will stop at nothing to meet their objectives of, you know, conquering Iraq, making it, you know, an American colony, then going on to Syria. Then, I mean, the way Donald Rumsfeld acted and the way George Bush has been behaving is that they are not going to fire Donald Rumsfeld. This to them, in their heads, this is just, you know, a small obstacle in the path to this long-term vision of completely, you know, obliterating any sort of Arab control over certain parts of that region.
And it is telling when these kind of terrible stories happen, and there's a face behind the story, in the way that your Daniel Pearl was a clear image of appalling and unacceptable behavior by anti-American extremists. Jessica Lynch was really turned into the poster girl for bravery and the U.S. military. Thomas Hamel, when he escaped, the U.S. hostage who escaped, we didn't really hear much about him, and the Nicholas Berg story is even more complicated, given the fact that the family sued the Defense Department and that he was held. I mean, it puts the Bush administration in a very difficult position, and they feel they need to play down any kind of heroism. First of all, he's a civilian, and it's just a much, much messier story for them. They have good reasons to hold back on this.
Mm-hmm. Well, later today, the Senate is going to get a chance to see the photos that have caused, certainly if you believe the person that was on the video, the death of Nick Berg. They'll get 3 hours, and they'll get a chance, only the individual senators, 100 of them, no staff. They will not be allowed to make copies. They will only be allowed to see it in room S-407, which is where our House Armed Services Committee Chair John Warner said they would be. And, of course, there is a question, I think, as to how the senators will respond. Because they're all going to be, you know, they're going to have microphones shoved in their face the minute they walk out of the room, or as close as the people can get to them. And they're going to be asked, well, how do you react? And it's going to be interesting to see whether some senators are going to try and spin this away from the pictures and toward the Nicholas Berg situation. Say, well, yeah, the pictures were bad, but...
Right.
You know, that's nothing compared to
what they're capable of.
Well, yeah. And I mean, when you have someone like Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe, who is capable of making the kind of outrageous, outlandish statements that he's making on national television yesterday, I guess anything is possible. Let's hear from the distinguished senator from Oklahoma.
I am also outraged that we have so many humanitarian do-gooders right now crawling all over these prisons looking for human rights violations while our troops, our heroes, are fighting and dying.
Do-gooders concerned with human rights.
Crawling all over? I mean, they didn't even let the Red Cross go in. They were denied access to part of the prison before.
But see, this is about language. This is about nuance, not walking around.
Exactly. It's like a little infestation.
And see, this speaks to something you said earlier. The notion that the right is very, very specific and very direct with the language that they use. Do-gooders crawling.
Yeah.
Not people trying to find out what's happening inside the prison. Do-gooders crawling. That's not an accident.
And
those words came across that way.
And those do-gooders insinuated, you know, that the Red Cross, the do-gooders, have found that this was not uncommon in up to 25 of the prisons that were there. And they also said that almost maybe 70 to 90% of the people being held were innocent.
Were innocent people.
So this is also, I think, you know, racist in this attempt to make them all the same.
Yep.
We will be back with the president's Palm Pilot, the liberal agenda, and a guest, a CIA guy. All right, he's been on before. Air America Radio, coming up.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
way. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Yes, we're back. Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Hello. It's Wednesday. John.
Hi. We are here. We
John,
really are.
Yeah, I know you are. We're all here. There was a... Oh, yes. And now it is time, of course, for the presidential Palm Pilot. I got a guy who hacks into the president's Palm Pilot every day to get his schedule. So here's today's schedule. 8 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Ignore yesterday's message. 9:30 a.m. Point out the Johnson administration, Democrats, never got tough on terrorist cabal of Riddler, Joker, and Penguin. 10:30 a.m. Breakfast meeting with Ashcroft. Note, snack beforehand. His prayer takes a while. 10:55 a.m. Meet with President Jose Eduardo dos Santos of Angola. Note, the name seems Spanish. The country is in Africa. It's weird, but don't make a big thing of it. 1:35 p.m. Participate in a conversation on reading and No Child Left Behind in Maryland. Participate in a conversation on reading and No Child Left Behind in Maryland. Okay, at least try to participate in a conversation on reading and No Child Left Behind in Maryland. 3 p.m., watch CNN for information about world events. 3:15 p.m., watch Fox News to remind you how you feel about world events. 5 p.m., find out why there wasn't Jell-O at dinner last night. Finally, someone in the administration is going to lose their job. 7 p.m., have aides gather up all the used Post-it notes in the Oval Office, box and label for inclusion in Presidential Library. 9 p.m., lights out, practice concerned smirk.
You know, sadly, it'll probably be the Jell-O maker who loses his or her job and not the right people.
Yeah, that would be the joke.
I don't know, really?
You're a sick man.
No, the joke is that, yeah, the guy who made the Jell-O, yeah, exactly, and as opposed to the, yeah, he just flushed it out a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Sussed it out.
More coffee for me, I think.
Sussed it out, flushed it out. John Ramsey is running for the Michigan House of Representatives as a Republican. What do you think of that, Mark?
Now, I thought they were in Colorado, weren't they?
He has a holiday home.
Okay.
I think they left Colorado, dude. I think they skedaddled because of the controversy. I'm like, you know, what are his campaign slogans going to be? Vote for me. I didn't do it. A chicken in every pot, a six-year-old beauty queen in every basement. John Ramsey, he's got experience with the law. Send Ramsey to Congress. It'll get him away from our kids.
Thanks for sharing.
That's some rough stuff.
Now, you know, they never really did nail him for anything.
They didn't nail anybody.
No, they didn't nail anybody. They swore up and down. They had all of this evidence. It seemed like every time I was in a supermarket line, there was a tabloid that had some new explosive revelation in the JonBenet Ramsey case. And now, after all of these years, what year did this happen? My goodness, I don't even remember anymore. Anyway, he's 60 years old now. I'm sure JonBenet would have been a teenager by now.
It was about 8 years ago, I think.
Was it eight?
Yeah, okay. It seems like eight. It was before I had children.
Okay, and yet...
That's how I define my life. Before and after.
Before and after, right?
BC, AC.
Yeah, exactly. Before exhaustion and after exhaustion.
I can't believe he's serious. I really can't.
I mean, what do you think he has a chance? He doesn't have a chance.
He doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell.
Oh, don't they? God. Really?
Can you imagine the state Republican Party hearing that this guy wants a seat in the United States Congress? Yeah. And then, you know, one of the things that state Republican parties do is fund candidates.
Right.
So here's a guy that they want nothing to do with who, if he were to somehow win the nomination, they would have to find a way not to give money to.
They run around the country campaigning for guys now. All the top brass, Cheney, Hastert, all these cats will go anywhere where the guy, the Republican dude, is like, you know, a little behind or needs a little boost.
So what are you saying? This is just a cry for attention? The guy's bored?
I think he's delusional.
He's trying to clear himself of any suspicion or, you know, or maybe try and clear his conscience. But the point is that usually these Republicans, you know, really, you know, micromanage anything that has to do with electoral politics. And now this story just in that, you know, we could flesh out a little bit is that, you know, Senate rejects the unemployment benefits extension because of like one vote. And they blame Kerry for being on the road that he could have made the difference. But
yeah,
he's too busy worrying about himself and his political career. And as it turns out, I mean, maybe you can flesh this out better than me.
Yeah.
They set him up.
I got to
make
a correction before we do that.
Yeah.
I made a mistake. I said he was running for Congress. He's not. He's running for the Michigan House of
Representatives. Yeah.
What they apparently did, okay, and we should be clear about how this went down. This was an amendment to a corporate tax bill. Senators voted 59-40 in favor. Trouble was they needed 60 votes. That would have been the procedural vote under the current Senate rules. John Kerry, of course, was not there to take the vote. But Tom Daschle, the Senate Minority Leader, said that the Republicans in the Senate deliberately engineered the vote to embarrass Kerry. In other words, put Kerry in a situation where that one vote, where they knew ahead of time that the one vote would be the one necessary and that they wouldn't get it and that they could pin it on Kerry.
Okay, so the way it works is they know in advance it's so extreme and it's going to go one way that Kerry knows it's not worth his while staying behind in Washington.
Right.
So, Okay, and the last minute they get together and they add it all up and they go, okay, but okay, you vote the other way and then it's going to look really, really bad for Kerry.
Yeah, the last minute Karl Rove makes a phone call and says, I got an idea, fellas.
Yes, yeah, sneaky. Has this never happened before?
Oh, it happens all the time.
Call me Kreskin, but we can screw this guy.
So what does Kerry do now? He just has to figure this might happen again, or he has to cut back on campaigning around the country. What does he do?
Well, the problem with this is the framing element is that, you know, when something like this gets out, when something like news, like, you know, that becomes a talking point, that Kerry blew it, that, you know, he should have been there for this, that once that's out in the open and it's in the world of circulation, it's going to be very hard to erase it from people's minds by saying the truth, which is he was set up, because then the Republican spin machine can just go, oh, listen to him.
He just needs a lookalike or an absentee ballot.
Well, not only that, Bush wasn't in favor of the extension in the first place. So how disingenuous is it for the Bush reelection campaign to talk about Kerry not voting for a bill that they didn't want anyway?
And how shocked are we?
Not at all.
No, exactly.
Set him up.
Set him up good.
Bastards.
Well, hey, you know, it's politics. It's the way people do politics. And
I'm learning that.
Underestimate George W. Bush's political savvy. He may sound stupid, but he's not a stupid politician.
Sneakiness.
Still ahead, former CIA officer Jack Rice, the morning devotional, and who's going to take the weight? We talk to you on the phones. This is Air America Radio.
The following is a real conversation between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber. It took place November 5th, 2003.
OnStar emergency, this is Bernard.
We have a fire in my house.
I'm going to contact the fire department. Just remain on the line.
County emergency.
This is Bernard with OnStar. I have a subscriber who's reporting their home is on fire. It's at 15.
No matter what your emergency, an OnStar advisor is always available to call for help.
Do we have emergency personnel on the line?
Okay, the fire department's been dispatched. Is everybody out of the house?
Yes.
Are you guys all in the car right now?
Yes.
Okay, you just got to try and stay calm, okay? They're going to be there soon.
I'm going to stay here on the line with you until the fire department gets here, okay?
Okay.
Many Buick vehicles are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your Buick dealer or Buick.com.
It'll be all right. It'll be okay. They're here, okay?
Ma'am, you did say that the fire department's there now?
Yes, they're there. Thank
you. No, you're welcome, ma'am.
Thank you.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The recent execution of American contractor Nicholas Berg in Iraq has temporarily cooled. The political sniping between Republicans and Democrats over the prisoner abuse scandal. Leaders from both parties have come forward to say the killing was despicable and that they will not cut and run. There's been no confirmation of a statement from one of Berg's executioners that the little-known group with ties to Al-Qaeda tried to cut a deal with the American military to save Berg's life. Government has placed a $10 million bounty in the head of bin Laden Lieutenant Sheikh Abu Musab Zakari for the murder of Nicholas Berg and other deadly crimes against American interest. And President Bush continues his three-state campaign tour today, touting his No Child Left Behind education initiative. Many critics of the nation's education system have charged that Bush's initiative as being deeply flawed and ineffective in many large urban areas. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
And allergies come with sinus pain. My Claritin just doesn't have it.
My Benadryl doesn't have it either.
Even my prescription allergy medicines don't have it.
Only Advil Allergy Sinus has it. It's the first and only allergy medicine with the pain-relieving power of Advil. So you get allergy relief plus advanced medicine for sinus pain. That's two-way relief.
Now I know what all the others are missing. Advil for my sinus pain.
Advil Allergy Sinus. Don't just stop allergies. Stop allergies that hurt.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox total satisfaction guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease Lozenges, clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease Lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Cold Ease Nasal Spray.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Hi. I wanted to let you know, according to the historian of the U.S. Supreme Court and the Secretary of the Senate, Article 2 of the Constitution, which is the oath of office, includes honorable conduct at all times. So not only are they under oath when they testify before Congress, they're also under oath when they give the State of the Union.
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
We're easing into Wednesday morning here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley. Sue Ellicott is doing some sort of flying, kind of dancey, yoga-y thing here in the studio.
Have you ever been to the loft?
To the what?
To the loft.
Is that an old club?
It actually
I think you're dating yourself, Riley.
No, it still exists. It's still been around for 30-something years. Yeah.
My good
friend runs it.
It's a groove place?
He's listening.
Yeah? Is it a groovy place?
It's beyond a groovy place.
Now, if we're plugging places, why don't you go to, what's the name of that place where you can get all the Air America stuff?
Oh, yeah!
Cafe. What is it? What's the place where you can get all the Air America stuff?
Merch.com? I don't know.
I think it's called, now we can't get the name of it.
Jonathan's scrambling, looking for the address.
CafeShops.com.
Okay.
/ Air America Radio. You can get the Air America Radio diapers, hats.
Lunchboxes, thongs,
coats baby
for your little
shirts.
Little doggy t-shirt.
Yeah, I think they might have Air America condoms. I'm not sure.
No, they had cups.
It's at cafeshops.com. What is it?
/ Air America.
we're going to have to get that right. We're a little loose today. Right now, though, we got a guest on the phone. Yesterday, General Taguba testified before the Senate Armed Services Committee about the abuse of Iraqi prisoners. Our old buddy Jack Rice is a former CIA case officer and a criminal defense attorney, and discusses intelligence issues on his radio show on WCCO AM in Minneapolis. He joins us on the phone this morning. How are you, Jack?
I'm great. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Jack.
Pretty good, man. I missed you when I was out there in Minneapolis. Did you come?
Oh, no. I saw you, though. It's all right.
Yeah, I figured. So, did you like the show, at least?
Absolutely. It was great.
Oh, thank you very much.
Don't worry. People are seeing it all over Washington now, too.
Oh, man. Those pictures are going out, too. So, now, American civilian... Nick Berg was killed on television, and a message on a Islamic fundamentalist website claimed that this was revenge for prison abuse. Do you think we're going to see more of this now?
No question at all. Realistically, you look at a situation like this, this was bound to happen. This was expected because you're going to see retaliation. You're going to, and we're going to see more of it.
And you agree that Al-Qaeda was not in Iraq until Bush made Iraq a mess, correct?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And I think the old maxim, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, there's going to always be some loose alliance, but you didn't see the connection. In fact, you started seeing these radical elements start to move into Iraq after we moved into Iraq, simply like people from around the Middle East moved into Pakistan and Afghanistan to fight against the Soviets. That whole Mujahideen movement was more than just Afghans and Pakistanis. It was the rest of the Middle East coming in to fight against the outsiders, who we are now.
Right, and they also thrive on the chaos to reorganize.
Absolutely.
And now, what was your reaction to General Taguba's testimony yesterday?
Frankly, I thought he did a great job. I think he was very honest. He was very straightforward in a way that I have not seen like anybody from the Department of Defense. He really did make a distinction here, and there was actually a fight on the floor of the Senate Armed Services Committee between him and the Under Secretary of Defense for Intelligence, Stephen Cambone. And what
the enforcer.
What they disagreed about was how to use the MPs and who was in control of this prison. But the real thing is what the general did is he said this was a failure of leadership. a failure of control, a failure of training, a failure of supervision. I mean, this is pretty scathing.
Now, how did you react to Senator Warner suggesting that they couldn't have known these sort of weak spots of Muslim culture without being somehow briefed by military intelligence, was his suggestion?
Well, I disagree with that. I think realistically you need to be able to prepare for this. This was simply a symptomatic of a lot of the problems that the current administration has when they've approached this entire campaign. I mean, the failures we could go through, and there's literally dozens of problems that they've had in this case, and this is simply the latest of those failures.
Jack, the administration says that they will catch and punish the people who killed Nicholas Berg. How realistic are they being?
Oh, I think it's going to be very, very difficult. Obviously, they're looking for Mr. Zarqawi, but they've been looking for him forever. I mean, they have a $10 million bounty on his head. This guy came to prominence really at the same time, to some degree, as Osama bin Laden himself. I mean, he started out working in Afghanistan. They have him tied to not just the Spanish bombings of recent times, but also to Morocco, to Turkey, and elsewhere. This guy is very good at what he does, and there's a question of whether or not he's where he even is. So I really question if they're going to be able to get him. But they might. You never know. It's all luck sometimes.
Jack Rice, you're a former CIA case officer and now a criminal defense attorney. Who do you think legally can be held responsible for the prison abuse we've seen?
There's two different groups of people in this case, and there was a reference General Taguba made, is that it may not have just been military personnel. There may have been contractors, or there may have been others as well. Now, what I mean by others, there may have been private individuals, companies, and there may even have been CIA personnel. So there's two types. The military, you're going to go after them under the sort of court-martial, the military issue, which you've already started to see. That's number one. But the others, the CIA and the contractors, there's probably two laws that would work. John Ashcroft is going to be able to use this under the federal criminal courts if they decide to go that route. This is absolutely political, though. So the question is whether or not they're even going to bother to do that. And frankly, I don't see that this is something the president's going to want to continue to push. I frankly doubt that you're going to see that. But there are two laws, one called the War Crimes Act of 1996 they would use, and then there's another one, you know, which has never been tried before. So that's how it would work in the civil side. But you never know what's going to happen. I doubt those will even come up.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, why do you think Cambone was sitting next to Taguba during that testimony yesterday? I mean, I kind of think it's a stretch to believe that General Taguba himself wanted him there. So how did that happen procedurally?
You know, that's a very, very good question, Mark, because originally he had been asked just by himself to show up. But in fact, the Department of Defense objected to this and actually sent the undersecretary with him, and it makes me wonder why that is too. Because without being a conspiratorial nut, not like you, Mark, I realize you like that. But I think partially they want to make sure that, because they read his report, they wanted to make sure they could sort of buttress their own position, because he was pretty aggressive against what was going on.
So now, okay, giving him a conspiratorial nut, you got any little connections that somehow we can start to take Rumsfeld out? Can we take him down? Not out. I mean, I don't mean kill him.
Yeah, right.
How do we get rid of him?
Just keep speaking slower, though, because I don't want to have any problems with his tape.
Is he going down? How do we make that happen?
Oh, yeah, you know, it's interesting, because I think ultimately the president is going to have to eventually acknowledge that things are not going well. I mean, at this point, he's been really... He finally apologized this last week for the first time ever. But more importantly, he's tried to act like everything has gone very, very well. But it has not gone very well. And at some point, he's going to have to point to somebody and say, this is your fault, this is your fault. Because if he doesn't, that failure will simply creep right into the Oval Office.
Well, so thank you.
Sorry. I was going to say, who is he going to point to, just quickly?
I think probably he will point to some of the field commanders. He's probably going to point to Karpinski, who was running the prison at least part of the time. He's probably – it may even get to Rumsfeld if it gets ugly enough. I mean, there's always the possibility he could get to the intelligence side, too, and that's a possibility.
So it's got to go the other way. It can't just stay with, you know, Brigadier General down. It's got to go back up the other way so we can really get some justice.
Well, I think it has to, because I think the American people feel like this thing is out of control. And if the president doesn't point to anybody and say, look, there's a problem here, and we need to address this problem, people are going to say, it's not just a systemic systemic problem at the lowest levels. It's a systemic problem at the highest levels. But, you know, ultimately, I'm an optimist. I mean, Mark, I'm sort of like your father when he plays the lottery. You know what I mean?
Then
he's
yeah.
always shocked. You know, I remember talking to him about this.
Yeah.
He was shocked about that. And I just, you know, I want to make sure I'm just like him when it comes to that issue.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what. You give me the creeps, but say hi to my dad for me, Jack Rice.
It's okay. You know something? I know people think you're a hypochondriac. I know people think you're paranoid.
No, I understand that.
It's all right. Hey, but, you know, there's a reason people chop up their food and pre-cook it and leave it in the refrigerator.
It's working.
I don't know what the deal is with that.
Oh, no. Jack Rice, former CIA case officer.
My
oh, thanks, man.
Take care, Jack.
Right, keep watching my back.
And your front.
Oh, man. Thanks for joining us. That was Jack Rice, former CIA case officer and criminal defense attorney. We are going to be taking your calls. After this, we have the liberal agenda, but give us a call and tell us who you think should be held accountable for the Abu Ghraib torture and abuse. Wendy England, Don Rumsfeld, the guy in charge. 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Give us a call here on Air America Radio.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
An OnStar Conversation, January 12th, 2004.
OnStar Center, this is Barbara.
Barbara, I locked my keys in my car. My dog is in there.
Which vehicle is it that you need to get back into?
The 04 Yukon Denali.
Do you have your OnStar account number?
547.
When you've got precious cargo, it's good to know that OnStar can unlock your doors in most cases.
We should get it unlocked momentarily. What kind of dog do we have inside the vehicle?
It's a schnauzer.
All right. And your vehicle doors are now unlocked for you.
They are. Up. You guys are fantastic. You're the best. You're the best. There is nothing like OnStar.
Well, thank you very much. We love hearing that.
You guys are unbelievable. I mean, in 2 seconds, it was done like that. I'm so happy.
I'm so glad that worked out for you. And how's our schnauzer?
He's okay. He's happy, too. Maybe we'll bring him to meet you. That's it.
Many GMC trucks and SUVs are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your GMC dealer or GMC.com. OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
Good evening, everyone. First time singing karaoke here. Coming at you with a little hot cross buns.
Yeah, that's a bad decision, Carl.
We're here at the GM Center for Good Decision Making, where we help ordinary people make good decisions.
Try another one, Carl.
Okay, tonight I'll be singing a medley of Gregorian chants.
It's our hope here at the center that when it comes time to buy a used car or truck, people will make the right decision with GM-certified used vehicles. Each one gets a 100-plus point inspection, bumper-to-bumper limited warranty, even a 3-day, 150-mile satisfaction guarantee, all from the GM brand you trust. Let's try again.
I'm Carl. I signed up accidentally, and now I'm going to sit down.
There it is, pal.
GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car.
Now is the time to get a GM-certified used vehicle from a participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Buick, Oldsmobile, or GMC dealer. All qualified buyers can get 2.9% GMAC financing for up to 36 months on 1997 to 2002 Sunfires and Cavaliers. See your dealer for details and take delivery by October 31st, 2002.
Good morning. It is 46 past the hour. This is my wife's favorite karaoke song. My wife is an Aussie freak. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We are taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. We want to know who you think should be held accountable for the Abu Ghraib torture and abuse. We are also at sedition@airamericaradio.com. And right now, before the calls, it's time for our morning devotional. Dear Lord. As we heard yesterday on Unfiltered, which follows this show on Air America Radio, 1190 AM here in New York. As you know, a group of top government officials hold college degrees that are completely fake. This includes safety engineers at nuclear power plants and biological weapons experts. Wow, Lord. What do you make of that? Now, none of us are perfect, Lord. We all cut corners from time to time. George W. Bush is one of the great corner cutters ever. But when it comes to nuclear safety and biological weapons, we need the corners. We need the corners. Corners are important. Give us our corners back. Lord, if you're not too busy, could you send these frauds to a fully accredited night school so they don't screw up on the job and kill all of us? I hear you're a fun guy, God, but I'm not ready to see you just yet. Thanks, buddy. Amen. Now it's time for the calls. Also, let me give that cafepress.com/AirAmericaRadio is where you get the cups and mugs and hats and underwear. Now we're taking calls. Here we go. William in Long Island. William.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
I'm a little bit nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Yeah, well, the issue for me is I was in the 9th, I was an MP with the 9th Infantry Division, the Mekong Delta in 1969.
Wow.
One of my jobs, MPs do a lot of things, but was to watch prisoners that the infantry took in. And I watched interrogations for a couple of months, and they were quite similar to what was going on now.
So this has always been pretty common in the war zone, you're saying?
Yeah, it's there was a military intelligence person present,
and
a full bird colonel or a lieutenant colonel.
Right.
And an MP.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose we were there to guard the prisoner, but we were basically there, I suppose, also to keep them from really...
Right. Well, thanks for sharing that with us, William. And in what he's saying is that in Vietnam, everybody was present. And now, you know, because there weren't people present, it's hard to figure out clearly who to blame. Rob in Utah. Rob, how are you?
Yeah, it's still, I think it's there's a buck stop with your own self.
Absolutely, I'm with you.
Well, I mean, the thing is that, you know, I'm a truck driver.
Yeah.
If I do, my company tells me to do something that's even slightly illegal, and in the process of doing that, I go kind of hog wild and do something even worse, who's, you know, my company's going to be held responsible.
Absolutely, because people are hurt.
This isn't, there's no way I believe that this is an isolated incident. I mean, why would Red Cross lie about it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thanks for your call, Rob. You're absolutely right. I like when those truck drivers call because, you know, they've just been like, they're just cruising in the huge 16, whatever, million wheeler.
But you hear what people are saying.
Yeah.
You hear people saying,
it's got to go to the top.
It's got to go to the top, and it is more widespread even than the pictures would lead us to believe.
Yeah, right. I mean, thank goodness for digital cameras. Without this, you wouldn't even know it was going on.
Absolutely. Carmella, New Jersey, quick, what do you got?
Yeah. Maybe I'm naive, but for me, one of the appalling aspects of this whole scandal is the deep involvement of private companies in interrogation and intelligence gathering.
Absolutely.
I think the Taguba report actually excoriated and put a lot of the blame on a private company that was basically telling these guards, you know, can you soften up these prisoners for me? And I just think it's appalling that private companies are doing this essential, you know, high-risk national security task. And just one more thing, I read in the Multinational Monitor this week that there was a Northrop Grumman subsidiary doing some intelligence gathering in Colombia. They suffered some deaths, and they decided they didn't want to deal with the liability. They dissolved the company. The same executives who were running this company formed a new one that picked up the rest of the contract and kept on doing intelligence gathering in Colombia, having gotten out of the thorny pickle of having killed a few of their employees in the process.
Just change the name, and it's a new company. Thanks for calling, Carmella. We talk about that a lot.
That's a very good point, and that's a really, you know, terrible story that she told us. And it's, you know, perhaps it's not the fact that it's private companies, but that those companies are beyond rules, they're beyond law, they're beyond accountability, and it's this big gray zone.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. We talk about that a lot here, and we'll talk about it some more perhaps a little later, and we'll be back with the liberal agenda and other things here on Air America Radio.
is Kathy, and I met my husband, Michael, at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband, Tom, through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband, Jack, on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Today at 5 on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. What are the best days of the week to get cheap gas? Eyewitness News finds out, so you'll know when to fill her up. Plus, beautiful bridal gowns at cut-rate prices. Eyewitness News finds three places to get yours without the madness. Plus, Eyewitness News uncovers a secret blacklist of tenants.
In effect, I was blacklisted.
Before you look for a new place, you better see what we found. It all starts with Diana Williams, Sade Veteranois, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah, only 11 years old and wants a sex change.
When do you first remember feeling like I'm in the wrong body?
Meet the young girl living as a boy. Then he's only 5.
You're a boy.
Not a boy.
I want to be a girl.
If this was your son, what would you do?
He's totally determined to be a woman.
A family torn apart. Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
Mary, can you overnight these to Boston?
Sure, do you want them first thing or... It's a meteor and it's coming right at me!
Not many things knock you out like a migraine.
I suppose you'll want to take the rest of the day off then.
But you can knock out a migraine with Ralpax. Ralpax allotriptan hydrobromide relieves migraine pain and symptoms such as nausea and sensitivity to light and sound. For some people, it starts to work in 30 minutes. Ask your doctor. Call 1-866-3-RALPAX or go to relpax.com. Ralpax. Don't let a migraine keep you down. Only your doctor can decide if Ralpax is right for you. If you have certain types of heart disease, a history of stroke, TIA, or uncontrolled blood pressure, you should not take Ralpax. Very rarely certain people, even some without heart disease, have had serious heart-related problems. Talk to your doctor if you have risk factors for heart disease, such as smoking, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol, or if you are pregnant or nursing. Certain medicines that are potent CYP3A4 inhibitors should not be taken with Ralpax, so talk to your doctor if you're taking other medicines. See our ad in Fitness Magazine.
Coming in for landing here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I am Mark Maron with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. It's been quite a day.
Sure has.
Already?
Yeah.
And then you're just getting going.
Isn't that wild when we leave? Everyone's just sort of coming in all perky with their coffee, like going, good morning. No, we're done here.
And when we leave, it's like, you know, you can't get lunch anywhere.
No, I know. Yeah. Everyone's like eating their bagels and their breakfast.
Yeah, everybody's
foods.
Still eating breakfast until 11.
I'd like an enchilada plate, please. It's 9.
Right?
So that woman who called talking about private contractors is just one of the many ways that Donald Rumsfeld thought he was going to cut corners in taking this military action in Iraq. And I think, you know, part of, you know, most of what we're seeing is that they are targeting Americans more than ever. You know, Nick Berg died because... You know, these doors were opened to Al-Qaeda terrorists to come into Iraq and find strength there. They weren't there before the Bush operation. They weren't there before this decision to go to war there. It's a new thing in terms of this war. And it's horrific and can be completely attributed to this administration's policy.
I got to tell you, I have a problem with the idea of private contractors being paid, what, about 4 times what our troops are being paid. Essentially do the same work in many instances. People talk about how much they're for the soldiers.
Then how does it save money, Mark? Because they use their own equipment?
I don't know. I do know. I have
no benefits.
I thought
no
that privatizing benefits. The war would save. Maybe it's not saving money. I don't know. I was under the impression that the reason there were private companies there was it saved money. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Maybe it saves money in the long run. Maybe they don't use as many people. I don't know. I do know that the contractors, the people who hire, the people who are hired by contractors make a heck of a lot more than soldiers do.
And tax-free, don't forget that.
Yeah, and tax-free. I mean, I had a friend who was in the NYPD who was offered an $80,000 a year job to go over in Iraq and work security.
And that's why this kid, Nick Berg, went over there to find some contracting work in electronics.
And you're right. What is sad is that Nick Berg died, really, because he was an American Jew in Iraq doing what he believed in, rebuilding Iraq, but yet it's been twisted that the Americans are not the liberators and the helpers, that they are the abusers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just
and that's not his fault.
No, nope.
That's the administration's fault for messing this up.
I just hope they don't try to spin this to justify the Abu Ghraib stuff on television and in the media.
Watch, they're already doing that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And I wonder what's going to happen in more testimony that goes on. I just hope that they are able to track this up, up far enough. You can't just – Rumsfeld's not just going to go unless he's fired, he's impeached. So he's not going to get impeached. So unless, George Bush really – his polls really start to drop to where he thinks he might not be – the president.
Because of Donald Rumsfeld, then he'll get rid.
So we got to keep the pressure on in any way we can.
Absolutely.
Down with Rumsfeld. That's what I'm saying. Saved by Barbara Streisand. Here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound for today, Wednesday, May 12th. Get your pencils. 1. Have lists of people not like yourself memorized in case you're accused of only spending time with people like yourself. 2. Protest the sexist use of the word man in the phrase sensitivity manual. 3. Visit maximum security prison. Assure repeat offenders that they are victims of the system. 4. Nominate local shaman for Nobel Peace Prize. Again, if you have a local shaman, let us know. Write us a letter. Drop us an email. 5. Watch Super Size Me, vow never to go to McDonald's again, unless the kids really, really won't stop crying. Or read Fast Food Nation. That's a book that'll make you stop eating McDonald's, except for the fries, maybe.
I want to see that movie, though.
I know that guy. I worked with that guy, Morgan Spurlock. He's a character. He's a raconteur.
Well, you're a character.
You have to go early and stand in line. It's sold out downtown in New York.
Oh, wow.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to check it out, though. Well, at the time we get out, I should be on the front of the line.
Yep.
The 11 o'clock show.
Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, Republicans love to hate him. Susan Sarandon loves to love him. We'll have Tim Robbins with us in the studio to tell us how he became the right wing's favorite target. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name is Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture and a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Today at 5 on Channel 7, Eyewitness News. What are the best days of the week to get cheap gas? Eyewitness News finds out, so you'll know when to fill her up. Plus, beautiful bridal...
This is...